This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
That'll be fun. Going to be a lot of fun. Steve, George, we have gone across the pond. I have gone across the pond. You've gone. Are we meeting in the middle of the pond? What are we doing here, Steve?
Well, it's just on the Titanic.
Oh, you no. Know, just, yeah, you just sunk the show.
That's it. Well, there you go. My heart will go on.
Look at you.
It goes along with the GIF I sent earlier of the of it's been 84 years,
yeah,
or however long it had been,
yeah. We were just chatting before we hit record. We said we love to talk. How long is this going to go between the two of us? So Steve, how have you been, buddy? It's been a few months.
I'm good. Yeah, not too bad. Very cool. It's been hot the last week or so, but it's cooling off now. So just about cooling down. So yeah, it's good. Yeah, very good. Lots of exciting stuff going on with movies coming out that I've seen and had in. And it's good. Although I've got no new equipment to talk about. And I know your guys recently have been talking about all the new stuff they've had put in. So feeling a little bit light in that front. But
That's what's kind of fun, and that's what people are saying. They're like, so we added that tweaks thing in, and we're doing this thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I kind of got that idea from Twitter, just because like when you're on Twitter and you see people do stuff and it triggers you. So I'm like, hey, what the hell? Let's add that in. If we do something, we talk about it. If we don't, we don't. But yeah, that's the idea. It's to trigger you, Steve, to get you to be like, I got to start ripping stuff apart or calling an installer. Right.
Indeed. Although talking about being triggered, that'll be something to talk about in a little while. We'll talk about being triggered when we talk about some of your comments last week with Johnny Speakers about movie criticism and critique.
You've got notes. You've got an agenda. You're coming at me. Oh no! I love it.
Yeah, I'm going to call it critique, not criticism. Yeah, critique, not criticism.
I know the difference.
Of approaching a film, of art generally, just thinking about, negative stuff. Is it as valid as positive? And I'm going to dare suggest that it is. But as long as it's balanced and as long as it's fair.
Absolutely.
And honest, of course.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We might get to that.
And I might have a reason. There's a time and a place for it. Let's put it that way. So we'll get to that. You also have some movies too. You got a couple of nice discs this week that I went back and when you said what you were getting this week and what we were probably going to be talking about, went back and watched them. So we're going to have some fun conversations about that. And there was somebody, I don't know if you saw that Twitter, one of the movies was perceived by a Twitter person as not so good in the audio area.
The audio area. That's interesting.
Audio. We'll talk about that. Look at us giving teases here. What the heck are we doing? Yeah. It's like we're professional, Steve.
You're the professional.
I'm flying by the seat of my pants. I've seen what professionals do, and I'm pretending. I'm just trying to be like them. Happens.
What the listeners can't see is the very cool kit you've got with the microphone and the headphones. And I mean, that's pretty cool. I'm just talking on my laptop, so I'm in awe. Yeah.
But that's the thing is I love the tech, right? And it's like I wanted to get this microphone. I wanted to have a setup. I love to play with the tech, and it's like I've been doing this for 4 years, and I just chip away. And John and I started with like Blue Snowball microphone. That's what we started with. And then I was just like, you know what? I want to try this stuff and mixing boards. And it's fun.
That's very cool. It is very cool and very professional.
Thanks. Looks good. Yeah. I'm trying.
But I missed that about the audio. So what was that one? Do tell.
All right. Multiverse of Madness. Multiverse of Madness.
Ooh, okay.
I really respect the source, so I don't want to call them out per se, but if you know what I'm talking about, you'd know the source. But somebody said that it wasn't very dynamic, the soundtrack. Said it didn't. It was missing bass, and it was the Dolby Atmos, they call it. That, you know, that's the term, because the Dolby the Disney discs don't seem as dynamic. And I was like, I had to push back. Usually I don't get into this, but I kind of had to push back on that. I'm getting a little braver in my age, you know. But I had to push back on it because I did. I found it to be very, the Multiverse of Madness to be very dynamic. I found it.
But
is that
the disc, though? Or is that the Kaleidoscape version, though, or is that the disc?
That was interesting. I haven't heard the disc, but I had talked to other people and they had the same opinion as me. So I'm going off the fact that, okay, I understand, especially with Disney discs. The Kaleidoscape could have a more dynamic soundtrack. But I talked to some other people and multiple people even before this, and I was like, oh, there's no real need for me to buy Multiverse, not run out and get it right away, and compare, because it sounds like everybody's having a similar experience as I'm having. Okay, cool. So then I see this and I felt like it was an outlier, and I was like, what I didn't like about it is it was coming out right when the disc came out. So somebody had just seen it. And I do feel like Disney gets a bum rap on this. And it's people's assumption before they've even heard the disc, they're assuming Dolby Atmos. You know what I mean? They're assuming that. So they're listening for that. And then his reply to me was, well, it felt like he used the opening scene as an example, that it was rolled off at 50 hertz and it should have gone deeper. Well, should have? Or, like, in your opinion? Or do you know for a fact that elsewhere it's lower and this is a mistake similar to Ragnarok, which I don't think is the case? And now you're getting into the place of maybe they had no intent of going lower than 50 hertz. And if in my room at reference level, my seats were vibrating, I felt it. I'm like, yeah, it's not Dunkirk. And that's what I said in my response. I'm like, not everything has to be Dunkirk. But I thought it was still a very, very good experience. And even he admitted, like, the overhead usage, the surround usage was fantastic. So I don't know what that's. I was interested to hear what you thought of it bass wise.
Now I've got a confession to make. I haven't watched it yet. Not on the disc.
Oh, okay.
I've not had a chance this week. I know. Oh, okay. Yeah, but
saw the movie.
But I can.
Yeah.
But based on the Disney Plus IMAX enhanced version, which absolutely blew me away, I've not. I mean, I tweeted about it like an idiot 2 seconds afterwards, because I was you know, it was almost tomorrow.
Oh, I forgot about that. That was a great one. I completely forgot really about excited. That. You got in trouble.
Yeah. Well. Oh. Yes. Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. So I got very excited having watched that in on Disney Plus, and I've had a mix. I had it because I watched Eternals on Disney Plus, and I didn't. And you and I talked about that. I didn't think that Eternals looked that great. It was washed out. It was weird looking. And I bought the 4K disc and I've not rewatched it, so I need to do that. But so I've had a little bit of a mixed experience with Disney Plus in terms of the some of their Marvel films.
Yeah.
But having said that, Shang-Chi looked incredible IMAX enhanced, but the sound was okay. But I thought Multiverse of Madness was absolutely stunning. It looked incredible. It sounded amazing. When Black Bolt speaks, they're on Titan, aren't they? I think they're supposed to be on Titan, and Black Bolt sort of finally speaks, and the whole room moved. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. I absolutely loved it, and I used that word deliberately. I really did love it when I saw it on Disney Plus. And I haven't had chance. The disc came out here on Monday, and I haven't had a chance to watch it because of another film we'll talk about in a minute, which I loved as well. But I haven't had chance. But I'd be very surprised if the really decent base levels on Disney Plus
went down
very least. Well, quite. that doesn't make sense, does it?
Yeah, no, it would. It just doesn't work. Yeah.
And I've seen the reviews. I've read the reviews of the disc. And the ones I've read have all said there is no Atmos issue with it, that the bass is, you know, perhaps could be stronger, but not that it's defective.
Yeah, that's so what I mean. Like, it might very well roll off at 50 hertz, but 50 hertz is still really good. And if you're listening at reference level, you're still going to get a good feel. I don't get into that stuff. I don't get into the numbers, and I go by the experience. I want to know, what is it like in your room when you're watching this movie? And that's the reason I use Ragnarok is so often, is it's a great example of, okay, this is not how you would expect. It is, I think that is honestly a mistake. And it's the experience just isn't, especially from that opening scene, you're like, what? It just feels flat right away. It feels flat. And, you know, that's what I like that. I like that idea better on how something feels over getting out your SPL meter or getting out your light meter for your television or whatever. If you get too into the too much of the minutia, you're literally not seeing, you know, the forest through the trees.
It becomes a technical exercise, doesn't it? It's no longer an exercise in enjoyment. It's not an exercise in engaging with a film. I suppose it depends what you want to get out of this.
It does.
If you want to get out of this, I love films. I want a film to move me in some way, or move me might be wrong, to engage me in some way. Because of course, not every film needs to be moving. But it's about engagement. If you want to engage with the film, then you don't need to be looking at light meters, sound pressure meters, you know, measuring everything to the nearest decibel, because it's no longer about the film. It's about the technical side of it, which I'm sure is valid if you're into that kind of thing.
Right.
That's not me and it's not you, because we are nerds and we're movie geeks and we want the film to look great, sound great, at least consistent with the artist's intent. And we just want to engage, don't we? And I think that's kind of what it's all about to me. I think we don't know what Sam Raimi's intent was in terms of how strong the bass should be.
Right.
So if you're watching it and enjoying it and engaging with it, then who cares how low it goes? Who cares how high it goes? Who cares if it, you know, if the whole thing's done in mono and it's done at a whisper?
Right.
If it's what he intended and it wants you to engage, who cares?
Exactly. Exactly. And you know what I think is, and that's, here's an example of why I think it's that Disney is getting a bad rap right off the jump, because their reputation is such that people go into it with that, the wrong mindset. Okay. Look at the movie, The Batman. Okay. People, critics, reviewers, people like myself, we look at these things and we go, wow, what a gorgeous piece of art, right? It's just from beginning to, I mean, there are people that don't like the story. Yeah. But great sound, great picture. If I could play my record scratch right now, I would. Because here's the thing. And this is just like getting to that, oh, it's rolled off at 50 hertz. This is the picture side of it. Look at the black levels. Look at the color of the black in the Batman. Like Jeff and I talked about, Jeff from HD Report, and we talked about in our podcast, we're like, it is a gorgeous HDR movie because of the subtle tones that are throughout that movie. But if you're looking at it from a technical aspect, why aren't those blacks just like deep black? I don't care if it's a projector or an OLED, you're looking at that and it's a different tone of black is your lowest level on that film, right? Because of the way that it was shot, because of the tone that they wanted to set. So that would be like saying, that's not true black. This movie's awful. But they're not saying that because it's a good movie. It doesn't have a bad reputation or anything. And people are forgiving that for not being, like Jeff had used the example behind me, or looking at you, Steve, and your speakers behind you on that screen. That's a nice deep black. That we don't get that in the Batman. We get, like, as Jeff's called it, a chocolate black. But that's okay because it fits the movie, right?
Yeah. I think it takes a little getting used to, I think, at the beginning, only in as much as I because I love the opening of that film, and the first, what, 7, 8, 9 minutes up to the point where they arrive at the crime scene. I defy anybody to produce it as an evocative, effective opening as that. I mean, funny enough, I showed it to a friend of mine last night, and I said, I just, before we watched The Boys, I said, right, I'll tell you what we'll do. I just want to show you the first 7 or 8 minutes of a film. And I didn't say what it was. And I thought, well, let's just put it on. And at the end of that thing, and this was at reference level, and at the end of that, he's like, can we just watch the whole thing? It's just complete. I'm sold, hook, line, and sinker. I'm there. You know, let's just carry on. I didn't, because I really wanted to see The Boys. But it's just like, I need to see it. I need to see it. I've got to see it. And yet, as I watched that opening, and actually, when you're talking about black levels, I mean, obviously, you look at the black bars, don't you? But I think, for me, it's interesting. When the guy at the beginning, I think he's the mayor, isn't he? I think I've seen it 3 or 4 times. I should know, but I think he's
the mayor. It's the mayor or the DA or something like that. But
exactly. I'm not sure. I should know. I've seen it.
I've seen it a million times. But that's sorry to interrupt, but that's the point of this movie. It's so much a piece of art that you're watching it. Like, we're going to talk about a movie in a few minutes, very much like that. That is just a piece of art that. It's not even, I love the story of the Batman, great detective story, but I get sucked into watching that movie. Like, I'm surprised you and your buddy didn't continue, because every time I put it on for a scene, I'm like, I'm here. Screw it. It's just so good.
I get it.
It's just so good. But go ahead, sorry.
But the black levels thing that kind of struck me when I first saw it, and I saw it in the cinema and then seeing it at home, is when he moves across the frame and the Riddler is revealed behind him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought before I'd seen it at home, I thought that's going to be completely black, and you're not going to see it until you see his glasses reflected in the TV screen. Mm-hmm. But actually, you can see him. You can. It's not completely black, as you say. Gray is the wrong word, but it's not true black. You can see the outlines, especially if you're looking for it.
Right.
And I think initially when I first saw that, I was a little disappointed, thinking, is that a black level issue? But very quickly realized, no. That's exactly what they're going for. This is because rarely in that film also is the whole shot in focus. There's lots of kind of front center focus where the focus shifts to the left, to the right of the image, and you realize then this is what he's going for. This is what Matt Reeves was doing. You know, actually trying to shoot it, I think, quite realistically as well. Within the format and the story. I think the look is lovely, and I wouldn't want it changed. I think if you go too black with it, you remove all those details that are there.
It's a completely different feel. You may, going to a truer black, you may pull in some details that maybe you didn't want. You could do it that way, because it's almost like it's a different palette. It's a warmer palette throughout, because a true black, I mean, it shouldn't be cooler. A true black is just the absence of color, so it's not warm or dark. But true black next to, like, the Batman will appear to be cooler just in contrast, right? So that's why I just think, I'm like... But nobody says that. Nobody was upset about that. We recognize that as the piece of art. But when we get to sound, you have people that are like, oh, what the heck? Where's that sub 20 that I like? What 20 hertz, that is. I'm like, what? It doesn't have to be in everything.
Well, not every film has to be King of Monsters. Not every film has to be Dunkirk or Lucy. But, you know, not everything has to absolutely pummel you through the back of the, you know, either through the floor or through the back of your cinema room. There are degrees of subtlety. There are ways of doing it. And again, I go back to that word engagement. You know, if it engages you, if it draws you in, if you're enjoying it, again, who cares?
Yeah.
I think sometimes bass can take you out of a film. I mean, you guys were talking about that little opening bit of Edge of Tomorrow. You and Johnny Speakers were talking about that last week. And both of you were saying, and I the 4K disc comes out here Monday week, so 1st of August. So we haven't got it here yet. But you guys were talking about how that kind of takes you out of the film right at the beginning.
Yeah,
straight away. Like, what, what's that? Where's that come from?
Yeah.
And there's an example of a bass that's on that, you know, so you're the guy, whoever this was, and I'm curious to find out who it was, but whoever this chap is saying, look, it's not deep enough. I don't like, you know, the Multiverse of Madness because of that.
Right.
Then it just makes no sense. You know, it just seems very strange. It just doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
You know, you can have a great experience without the pictures coming off the wall and think, you know, I mean, that's fun.
It's fun, you know, every now and then.
Have you recently watched Twister and Dolby Atmos and obviously Daylight? You know, those films both feel like the room's moving.
Oh, yeah.
But they don't have to, you know, right. It's not, you know, you can enjoy a drama and enjoy that without almost any bass rumbles at all. And it doesn't mean it's any lesser because of it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think I'm with you 100%. I think that your bass heads, your audio files to that degree are rather missing the point, I would say.
Yeah.
But of course.
Exactly. You know. And that's why what I would say, and I think this is why I'm getting a little bit, you know, I wouldn't say braver, but bolder in actually replying to some of this stuff, is because, like, you know, Edge of Tomorrow, I felt like some of the negative talk about that opening scene was taking away from how great the disc was. And I started seeing people like, all right, then I'm going to skip this disc. It's like, whoa. And that's what I don't like, is that when somebody takes that one negative piece, that becomes the headline on something that is a really good disc. And I don't like, not that every good disc, I mean, he might be completely right in saying that it rolls off at 50 hertz, but that's not the intent. That's not the headline. That shouldn't be the headline of the movie. That's not Dolby Atmos. That's, you get a great experience out of this. And the headline should be, you know, like either Mike from AV Nirvana, when he writes his stuff, or Ralph Potts. And it's like, they write these things and the headline will be like, really great engagement, blah, blah, blah. And then if they felt like there was a roll off, it would be in the story, and you have to read it in the story. Right. And it's like, but then, most people just read the headlines. So they did their job. They promoted the experience, or they told you it's a great experience. If you want the nitty gritty, you got to read the nitty gritty. What I don't like is people are taking the nitty gritty and making that the headline. And that's not necessarily fair to the product. You know what I mean?
No, and I agree. And of course, if we're all trying to get more 4K content and more 4K, obviously not necessarily discs, because I know you've got your Kaleidoscape, but more 4K
content,
releases.
Yeah,
then you know, unfairly criticizing the technical aspects of the disc are not going to help. And you know, if you do it too much, and word gets back to the studios, and they think, right, we're going to spend all this money and all this time on this, and one review is going to stop people buying it. Bearing in mind, we're only talking about, I think I saw a breakdown today of about 20%, 24, 25% of a new release selling on 4K. And that's big, isn't it? I mean, sometimes it's as low as 7 or 8%.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they're thinking 24% of that pie is 4K, and one review can stop 5, 10% of that from buying it, then they're going to think twice about releasing it, and we all suffer. You know, I agree.
Great point.
I think you've got to be careful about, you know, about, I think you've got a responsibility as a reviewer, haven't you, to be fair. Again, we come back to the critique, don't we? About being fair and balanced and having reasonable and realistic expectations as to what the intent was, what the, you know, and you know, you may say, look, I wanted more bass. That's fine. People do. But that doesn't mean that it's wrong, or that it's bad, or that it's a poorly authored disc. I mean, there is Todd Anderson and I had some DMs a while back about, and I'm not going to name the company involved, but that there is a company whose job it is to sell discs. They sell it. This is what they do.
Yep.
And one of the people that works for them constantly criticizes 4K discs. Constantly. There's not one I've seen that this reviewer has said, oh, it's great, this was amazing. Not one. And that includes the discs that we all regard as reference discs.
Yeah.
You know, they're,
so what is their beef with it? Like, how do they come up as credible if they're criticizing stuff that's considered by most as reference?
Yeah.
That's a big drop, like, from criticism to, hey, this is one to own. How do they come off as credible?
And they sell this stuff. It's in their interest to actually give it a shout out, and actually they don't. And say Todd and I were having a DM about it, and just saying like, what's this guy's deal? You know, it's very strange. But you know, because we had the criticism of the Lord of the Rings discs, didn't we? I mean, I loved them. And funny enough, I think, you know, and yet there were those who were loudly bemoaning, oh, this is wrong, that's wrong, you know, the picture's not this, it's not that. And again, I just didn't get it. And again, this particular person was one of those. And I don't understand it. I don't get it. And so I'll be very curious to go back to Multiverse of Madness. I'll be very curious to try that dish now. I'll move it to the top of the pile. I've had so much arrive in the last 2 weeks. And every time I sort of think, well, I'll get back to that, I think, yeah, but I've seen it recently. And I haven't seen these others that have just come in, and it's like, I'll watch those first and then run out of time. I absolutely love that film. I thought and it'll become relevant in a minute when we talk about Thor, Love and Thunder. The Multiverse of Madness, I thought was fantastic. I really, really enjoyed it. Both as a home theater experience and as a movie.
It plays really well on Disney Plus too, just because of the nature of the movie, the nature of the filming. Like, it's so dynamic, just the way that it's so colorful. It's so fun. I mean, that's where like the nuances of the Batman do not play well through streaming. Even if that was on Disney Plus or Apple TV, you would lose quite a bit. And never mind HBO Max, which is considered to be the least good at.
Yeah, we don't have it here. We don't have it here yet.
Well, it's not. You don't want it. It's just wait for the disc. That's what we've been telling people. But as I've said in the past, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I like what HBO is doing. I like what Warner is doing. Is they're putting it out to the masses in a way that the masses want it, right? And like we get the preview of it, and you're like, oh, that doesn't look very good, because we can take advantage of the 4K. We could take advantage of really good, right? And then when we get it on disc, we're like, yeah, that's good. Warner's putting out some of the best discs, but they're like the worst streamer. So they're doing a great job in both directions. I don't mind that business model at all.
There's an interesting thing with Warner's. I was going to speak to you about this in terms of during the pandemic, they seemed to embark on a crusade to release a lot of their back catalog. So we had V for Vendetta, we had Blade, we had what was the other one? Oh goodness me! There were a number of their kind of back catalog releases that they then brought out, and that seems to have slowed down. There's no Blade 2. There's not, you know, they've not done a number of their back.
Blade was by Warner? I didn't know that.
Yeah, New Line. Warner's New Line. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they're owned by them, aren't they? So they released it. Or at least they did. Oh, the other one, of course, was 300. They released, they did 300 as well, didn't they? Which, again, was great.
Gorgeous.
And so they suddenly released these really big AAA 4K releases during the pandemic. And that now seems to have stopped. So we haven't had, as I say, Blade 2. The number of others. I mean, I suppose Edge of Tomorrow is theirs, isn't it? I think that's Warner's. I'm pretty sure.
Not sure of that off the top of my head.
Pretty sure it is. But they seem to have slowed it down a bit, which is interesting. And I hope that's not going to continue. I hope they're going to, you know, ramp them back up again, because they've got some great movies. I'm holding out for Dirty Harry. I'd absolutely love to have that in 4K. And those kinds of things would be great. The Heartbreak Ridge, lots of Warner's movies, which would be good. The Fugitive would be nice.
There's
lots of movies they're sitting on and a 4K of Twister, of course, which would be good. Actually, I think that might be, is that Universal? And it's Warner's here, but I think it's Universal. Oh, in the okay. States.
Yeah, that's Universal. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, because you can go on the ride.
Yeah,
Universal Studios here. That's how I go by it. Multiverse on the streaming is just. And it's even more dynamic, I think, on disc and on Kaleidoscape. Obviously, I haven't seen the disc, but from everything I've heard, it's, you know, very similar.
Well, I hope so, because I loved it. As I said, I absolutely loved it on streaming.
I feel like you're setting me up for the opposite with Love and Thunder. What happened?
Well, I'll tell you what, whatever happens now, if I go too far with this, you can edit this out and you've got my permission to do it.
Okay. I would never do that.
Let's see then. Let's be diplomatic. I'm looking forward to seeing it on Disney Plus before the 4K disc comes out.
Okay.
Because this could be the first Marvel MCU movie that I don't buy. And that'll be bad because I like to complete the set. But as you know, if it's not quality and if I don't like it, it doesn't go into the collection.
Yep.
It's midway with gathering dust in the attic.
So you own it. It's just not in your collection. It's
I can't do it.
It's been ostracized.
I can't have it. No, yeah, exactly. It's been it's been exiled.
Exiled. We got all
So it's exiled. Yeah.
Synonyms going.
It's where it needs to go.
Obviously spoiler free, because we know you love to spoil stuff.
Of course. Yeah, well, let's quickly explain that for people. Yeah, I got so excited after Multiverse of Madness and so blown away by the image quality. I grabbed a load of photos. And where I think these particular chap had a problem is because I put out a couple of days before.
It was that morning.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I'm
all excited.
Obi-Wan.
Thor. Oh, that's it. That's the one. So I got a load of screen grabs, just took them straight off the screen and put them up. And then one of them had, can we spoil it now? What do you think? I've already done it on Twitter.
Because you said, and I wasn't defending my mate. As people said, we don't use that over here. That's what I say. But were like, because I was like, wait a minute, it's all in the trailer. And it's like, he dropped me. He blocked me. And because he asked the question, I said, no, he didn't spoil anything. It's all in the trailer. And not to mention, it's been almost 2 months since the movie came out. And then I said, so like, we're kind of past that 7-day, moratorium of spoilers. And he asked it was just a random Twitter person, right? I don't even know if they were a follow. I think they did follow me. And he said, he goes, well, where is there a rule that it's a 7-day moratorium? And I knew that the Russo brothers had talked about it and they pulled it. So I grabbed it off YouTube, sent them the link. I go, here's the Russo brothers talking about Endgame, which huge spoilers nobody wanted, but even the Russo brothers said, can you give it 10 days, a week to 10 days? And I was like, here we are. He's like, that's it. He blocked me, fella. But the funny part is he answered my thing. He's like, yeah, you just go defend your mate. But then he blocked me and left. So like, he wanted to get the jab in, but I couldn't even see it because he blocked me. I had to go to another account that I had to be like, where did he go? So I went to another account that he didn't know I had. And I went, boom. Oh, there it is. I see that. And I just laughed, but I'm like, what the hell? I'm like,
I had thought about it with these pictures. Like I said, I just grabbed these screen grabs because they look really good. But there's a podcast over here from a BBC podcast by two guys called Wittertainment, by a guy called Mark Kermode, who's a very well-known film critic over here, and Simon Mayo. And they've been going for 30 years pretty much as a radio show and then as a podcast, and they talk about, their rule is, if it's in the trailer, it's not a spoiler,
right?
So that was my approach to it. It's like, well, his voice is in the trailer. I mean, you can hear this person,
you can see him,
you know. So so that was the reason for it. But anyway, so I got so excited about that and I put that up and I thought it was amazing. So we get to Thor. So with Thor, then I went to see it at the cinema. I saw it opening day because I didn't want it spoiled. I went to see it. The Eternals, I found, having seen it on Disney Plus, I was bored by that. I need to give it another go. So I'm not having a go at it too much. I was bored by it. Thor, I was offended by it.
Oh, wow.
This is why I say
it. You're coming out swinging. Okay.
I think, and I'm going to be as diplomatic as I can be, I think Thor is, I think it's racist. I think it's homophobic. I think it's misogynistic. I think it's sexist. And all of those things.
I didn't get that at all.
Well, this is the thing, and I'll try and defend it, because again, this is about critique. It's about, I think that, because I remember you guys saying, and I was listening in the car last week when you guys, you and Johnny speakers, were talking about the negative All right. And thinking, and I thought hard about that. And I'm thinking, actually, is it right? Is it not? And I'm thinking, well, as long as you give an honest opinion, mm-hmm. as long as you, so it's not because you talked about the end game guy, didn't you? The chap that we think is just trying to get likes and clicks and views mm-hmm. by trashing a film that everybody loves.
Right.
So, but I think as long as it's, if the negative view is honestly held, mm-hmm. politely argued, and well argued, then I suppose it's just as valid as the positive.
It always is. But again, yes. Right. So, but it's a track record though. And we all know those people. Yeah. It's like, if everything you hear out of them, just like myself, it's like, I have a track record of being positive. That can be just as detrimental because people will be like, well, I'm not really going to take his opinion because he likes everything. Mm. Right. And I accept that. That's fine. Because I'm just trying to, I know I dislike stuff. I just choose not to talk about it because enough people are dissing something. Right. So in my purpose of Twitter and the podcast and everything is to bring a little bit of balance because there aren't as many people doing what I do because most people aren't even attracted to that. That's why I appreciate all my listeners so much. It's like we are a rare breed that is attracted to the positive stuff. Most people see something that they don't like and they go right to it just so they can get angry. And it's like, no. And that's why I love my Twitter feed. I don't go towards the stuff I don't like. I only go towards the stuff I like. And that's how I've met people like yourself and all my Twitter followers. And I don't need a million followers. I just need people that enjoy the stuff I enjoy and that's all I'm looking for. Yeah. And just I dislike a lot of stuff. I just don't want to talk about it. Why do I waste my time talking about the stuff I don't like?
Which I think, where if you strongly dislike something though, that passion that you feel for the good stuff, mm-hmm. you then feel for the stuff that's not so good. And as I said, so very briefly with Thor, because I just don't be brief.
Let's go.
I vented it on Twitter. Okay, so the racist thing. Now, mm-hmm. bear in mind, in a world where Chris Pratt, having been cast as Mario, has been told, you better not get doing the It's-a-me Mario accent because you're not Italian and you can't do that. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of criticism about that. We then get Russell Crowe doing...
What was
is
that?
Is it Greek? Is it Italian?
I don't know.
I don't know. But I would say that's racist. That's my
really?
View. And I say this, well, I think so. Having said that, Taika Waititi's the director. He's a fellow Kiwi. So we're both New Zealanders.
Yeah.
So I really like him. But I think that was too far. I think that accent was, well, one, abysmal. But two, I think that's a racist accent personally. And I mean, I was just about with the film until he turned up. And then I just was like,
okay. Now for a little bit of balance, I am going to obviously I didn't find it racist. I didn't even think of that. I thought it was awful. I thought it was because here's where I want to push back. To call it racist is you're going to have to point it at somebody and nobody wants that accent. I don't think accent of anybody on the planet. I think I felt like it was a mixture of accents and you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, so I just felt like it was I've heard a lot of people say like, what was that accent? And that's how I felt when I was listening to it.
Yeah.
And so like to actually say it was racist, I'd have to find the race that it's against.
It's like, well, yeah.
And that's what's tough for me anyways, unless you know of it.
That's damning with faint praise, isn't it?
I'm agreeing with you. It's bad. I don't call it. I agree with you. It took me out of the, I was like, what the hell was it? Cause I love Russell Crowe. And I mean, we all do. Right. And you're like, and then like you see him in
Gladiator.
There you go. I don't know why I had a C in my head that it was, but Gladiator and the way he spoke in that. And then, was it Nice Guys? Nice Guys that he was in?
Yeah.
I love the way he talked it. Like he was like, he's kind of like an older guy there. And he's like, but he's so commanding of the scene sometimes without even speaking. But then when he does, you're like, yeah. So when he showed up in Love and Thunder and you're like, oh my God, he's Thor. And then I feel Zeus. What about this? I know he's Zeus, but I'm like, what about Zeus? Is like Zeus. Zeus is the god. Yeah. It's like, mm-hmm. there you go. Yeah. The god of gods, right?
Yeah.
What about this as a choice? What do you think of, and I would not put this past Taika Waititi at all. What if he said, do something ridiculous because we want to take Thor and turn him on his head, and meaning like, not Thor, sorry, Zeus. Mm. Zeus, and we all, I did, I felt that. I saw him and you're like, oh my God, he's Zeus. And then he spoke, and in the reverse of, what if he gave him a high pitched voice? And he was like,
yeah,
and it would have been funny. And I think he was going for a joke there with that accent to kind of make Zeus comical, even though he is that big.
Yeah.
It's almost like a juxtaposition. You take that, and it just didn't play well. And it didn't play well with me, and obviously not you.
It was definitely a choice, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
There was a choice there. Yeah. There's no question. Now, in terms of Russell Crowe as an actor, he is incredible.
Yeah.
The Gladiator is probably one of my favorite films of the 21st century. Oh. Came out in 2000. It just qualifies.
Yeah.
I love that film. And he's fantastic in Master and Commander, another film we did in 4K.
Yep.
Fantastic in Master and Commander. Inside Man, a beautiful mind. Unhinged, one of the ones from last year. He's an absolute force of nature in that film as the bad guy. I don't know if you've seen it.
But, I haven't seen that road one rage. Yet.
It's a film where he plays someone who is a jilted husband. It's a road rage incident that just goes to the nth degree.
That sounds like a Michael Douglas movie, Falling Down.
Falling Down.
Yeah.
Or Changing Lanes. Changing Lanes with Ben Affleck and Sam Jackson.
There you go.
Same kind of thing. It's where one incident snowballs. But he's a nasty, nasty piece of work in this. Ooh. If you get a chance to look it up, Unhinged. It's only short. It's 90 minutes, and it's lean and mean. And
Steve, I probably just spent $20. It's probably going to be on my Kaleidoscape by tonight. Well,
I would say, though, a lawyer does buy the farm in it. Honestly, it's shocking. But still, But it's very good and well worth a watch. So it's not him as an actor. I mean, he's a great actor. He's a fantastic actor. But I think in this, he did make a choice. I think he's watched Clash of the Titans. He's seen Laurence Olivier and Liam Neeson do it. And they always talk with a very commanding English voice, don't they? I'm Zeus.
Yeah.
And I, therefore, am the god of gods. And I think he's decided he's going to do the opposite of that. But but it's a Greek god, as I understand. I think, Greek. They were the Greek god, weren't they?
Yeah,
Zeus, yeah. Mount Olympus, Greek gods. I think he's trying a Greek accent there. And I think he's deliberately doing it in an over the top way. And someone who is not Greek, I think it goes too far. But I appreciate I may be alone in that, but I think he does.
Yeah.
I think it goes beyond pastiche, beyond a joke, into something more sinister than that. It's a film.
Yeah.
So there's that. I also struggled with the tonal differences. Again, we've got to be careful with spoilers, but the illness that one of the characters is suffering from, a very serious illness, and the tonal shifts from I'm terminally ill to, oh, I've just taken some stuff from a vending machine. You can make jokes about a very serious subject and still do it in an empathetic way.
Yeah.
And of course, I'd point you to Afterlife. Is a perfect example of a series where it's a serious matter, but you can make jokes about it and it still be empathetic.
Yeah.
Whereas Thor, I felt, again, it's just my opinion. I felt that you had quite child puerile jokes straight after a very serious sort of setup, and I butted heads against that.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's misogynistic. I think it's sexist. I think, again, although notwithstanding, having said this, and I was thinking about whether I'd even say this, but because, of course, I know what Mike Schramm, not Schramm, obviously, Schramm.
Schramm.
I know what Mike and Johnny Speaker said about their partners when they saw it and their reaction to Chris Hemsworth not being naked. But I thought that, the idea that every woman would swoon over that seems a little bit of an old school approach, I think. I don't know. I really struggled with it. And again, this misogynistic thing of you stay here, love, I'm going to go and sort this was all a bit, I don't know. Anyway, I think by the time I'm thinking that, and I was, I'm out of the film at that point, and there's nothing the film could do which was going to get me back on board. And I was genuinely annoyed. And I think as in the cinema, I was huffing. I saw it on my own, and you know, there's people there, but I was sort of sighing loudly to myself. And I think I was really annoyed. Yeah. So, and I think with something like that, once you're out of the film, there's no going back.
Yeah.
And
it's tough.
I couldn't. I genuinely, as I said, I was offended leaving the cinema. And I sent a tweet out saying this was awful. I need to see it again.
Yeah, I would love to talk. We'll talk off air.
Yeah.
And we'll, because I'll talk spoilers with you. And I think I can give you some points that, like, I didn't love it either. I was like, okay, I thought the comedy is what took me out of it. And I feel like maybe that's kind of what you're talking about, is like the comedy kind of fell flat for me. I felt like it was too forced, whereas in Ragnarok I felt like the comedy was more organic. Like, it just felt it felt like if you and I in the middle of a conversation we make a joke about something, it sounds a lot different. And trust me, I know, because John and I used to write out our stuff in our early podcasts, and you hear it back and you're like, oh my god, we are not actors. And but it has to come natural, right? So
yeah,
Ragnarok felt natural, whereas Thor: Love and Thunder felt like John and I doing the podcast. It felt forced. Like they knew their lines and they were just saying them. And you're like, no, it didn't feel reactionary. So I didn't like it. I didn't like it in that way. But the storyline and some of the stuff that you're talking about, I can't really get into because of spoilers. But I really did appreciate it. And I've actually pushed back on a couple of other people privately too, that were like, oh, I see what you're saying here. So I thought, I get what you're saying about, I find it funny that you found it to be misogynistic, because there's a lot of people on the other side that think it's the other way because a female Thor, and they don't understand that there's always been a female Thor has been in the comics for a long time. And
there's a dichotomy there. People think they're just doing it
because they want to, you know, hey, that's the, you know, they're trying to promote women. That's the whole thing. Now, no. This is Marvel's been promoting women for 60 years. It's like, they've had great female characters, and a lot of them are balanced out, you know, a balance of the male character, right? It's the same, Hulk and She-Hulk. You have those have been around for a long, long time. They've been doing a great job with it. And so it's just now coming out in movies and people are like, oh, there they go again. What do you mean there they go again? This is a real character. It's been around. So
And again, as I was thinking it, you know, in the cinema, I'm thinking, well, you know, they have, you know, absolutely, they have given representation to female characters and everything, which is why again, I might be misremembering this, because I was so annoyed by the time we got to it, but I'm sure there is a line in it where we won't spoil it, but towards the end where a male character says to a female character, you stay there, I'm going to go off and sort this out. And I just think it's just, and that male character does that. Having said that, I'm going to see it again, and I'm looking forward to seeing it again, and I hope I like it more. You know, a lot of the lines were improvised. There'd been some talk about the fact that the major plot points were improvised. They were just done on the fly, and that kind of might make sense then, with the comedy being kind of as tone deaf as perhaps it seemed.
Maybe,
because if you're not writing this, you know, it's like a well-oiled machine, isn't it? I mean, if you don't take the time, comedy's much more difficult than any other form of acting or art, I would say. And funny enough, you know, again, a critic here very often says, the more fun you had making it, the less fun it'll be for the audience. And I wonder whether some of that crept in from Ragnarok. I wonder whether they had such a great time on Ragnarok, they just thought, oh, we're going to have a blast on this. And it, you know, it just didn't get there. But, you know, I'm saying that, and again, and I mean it as a critique, not as a criticism. And it's an honestly held kind of view. But I appreciate seeing it again. You know, as you know, very often I see a film first, and I have issues with it. I watch it again, and then those issues kind of melt away. You know, that happens to me quite a lot. And it did recently with Uncharted. I didn't like it at all when I first saw it in the cinema. And I enjoyed it enough. The second time it was okay. I got the 4K disc and I enjoyed it enough.
Great looking disc.
It is.
Great looking and sounding.
Not bad. There's some decent bass.
It's some decent sound. It's not like, I don't remember a lot from it that makes me go, wow, that's an awesome. It's a good soundtrack. That's what I would say. But I thought it looked really, really good 4K wise. But I'm like you. I don't think it's a great movie. Like it's a good movie. It's very almost cookie cutter. It's a great experience to sit in your room and just appreciate the picture and the experience of being in the room. And it's a story that's enough to keep you there and be like, this was fun. It was entertaining, but it wasn't anything to, document to write about, you know?
Yeah. Nothing to write home about.
Exactly.
Here.
Yeah. That's what I would say too.
So that's an example of a film I didn't like and enjoyed more the second time. And maybe I'm doubtful because of how strongly I took against it, but it may be that I like it more. I'm just so glad that Disney Plus will release the IMAX enhanced version before the 4K disc, so I don't have to go and spend money on it again.
So
if I don't like it the second time, that will be a break in the MCU chain for me, which is kind of hard, but I've got to do it.
To get along those lines, I mean, this movie is much like Multiverse of Madness in that it's going to look good. I think it's going to look good on Disney Plus. I think it's going to look good. I think it's going to sound good. Really looking forward to it in the home. Because exactly that. It's so brilliant. Like Ragnarok, it's so vibrant. It's such a dynamic movie, sound and picture-wise, that I think that is going to be enough just to warrant you to probably make the purchase, but that'll be fun to get to. But I'm very similar to you with Jurassic Park Dominion, Jurassic World Dominion. I saw that in the theater and much like you, I was very disappointed. I did not enjoy it. I was like, And I've said it. I said it the other day in the podcast. I said to my wife at the show in the theater, I was like, I'll get it to complete my collection, but I don't really want to. Showed up on the Kaleidoscape. I bought it because it came out and I was like, I'll complete my Jurassic collection. And I just put it on to see what it looked like. Steve, I was hooked. It looked so good. Like 3D. Some of these scenes, there's some Atmos scenes that I would love to get into some. There's an Atmos scene, an overhead scene where, have you seen the movie yet? Have you seen it yet?
I haven't seen it in the cinema. Okay. This is the only one I haven't seen in the cinema. I'm waiting for 4K to see it at home.
Yeah. There is an Atmos scene. It's probably about halfway through the movie that is, it's so much fun because it gives you the two different perspectives. You're inside something and then you go outside that something and then you go inside and outside and you hear the different tones in your room. Nice. But then when you're inside, you hear stuff outside from the top and then you hear it. And I was just like, this was just so much fun. That's just one of the overhead scenes, but the bass in it was so much better than what I experienced in the theater. And this is where, like you said earlier, like bass can take you out. This is where the bass actually pulled me back in, because there were some scenes where, and you know, it's a dinosaur movie. So you get those scenes where the characters are just looking off into nowhere, right? And they're looking at the camera, but you know, they're looking at dinosaurs. Well, in the theater, I didn't get the real rumble or anything like that. I probably heard it, but it wasn't. But in my theater, when they were looking off in the distance and you felt it, you're like, you know what that face means, because you're like, oh my god, I know what's coming, because I felt it in the room. And the bass was so much more engaging that I was like, holy crap, this is awesome. This is what I wanted. And now I want to go back through the Jurassic World and Park series and be like, where do I rank this, because it is pretty damn good. And I was like, where I had it, like, dead last, I was like, this is awful. And now I'm like, completely different. So in your room, in the experience. I mean, I can't help you with your story. The storyline's still the same, but now I'm more engaged with the movie, with Jurassic World Dominion, that I was actually at the end, I was like getting emotional. I was like, wow, I'm more invested in this story and I enjoyed it more. So it's,
well, that reinforces my decision to wait for home cinema then to see it. That works for me.
Yeah.
But there is a link in the film. I don't know if you remember, I tweeted this out a while back when the trailer came out. There's a sequence, isn't there, in a drive-through, I think. I don't know if it's at the, I think it's at the beginning. But one of the kids is carrying a popcorn bucket. And that popcorn bucket is the same as the ones I've got. It's exactly the same one.
Really?
Yeah. I got a screen grab from the trailer and I tweeted it out, saying, oh, they're copying Cinema George. I mean, it's appalling, really, you know.
Yeah, and that's in Jurassic Park?
The trailer
Jurassic World
had a sequence in a drive-through. Now, of course, that may not be in the final film. I'd assumed that's it was.
I'm trying to think of where that was. I can't even think of that.
There's a young lad walking, and he's walking through the frame, and he's got a popcorn bucket, and it's the same plastic popcorn bucket that I've got, exactly the same. Down to the lettering, everything. It's the same thing, but wow. Well, if maybe that's not in the final film, maybe that it was something not, just a shot from the trailer,
yeah,
which would be interesting.
I'll have to see where that is. It might also be a scene that is just so quick in the movie where an action sequence is going on, and you just, that's not what you're looking at. So, but yeah, I'll have to dig that up.
Cut it. They might have cut it.
Copyright reasons of Cinema George, right?
They thought I'd sue. And, you know, Universal don't want that hassle. I'm not going through anything less than 100 million.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll definitely buy that one. I mean, I've got them all, and I like all the Jurassic Park films. I mean, the first one's the best one.
Oh yeah,
and that for me, that's the one that, again, you know, like how Star Wars, you know, I remember where I was when I saw it, and I was the first person in the city where I live. I was in the local paper. I queued for 5 hours with my then girlfriend, because you couldn't pre-book tickets back in the 93.
Yeah, 93. Yeah.
You couldn't pre-book tickets. So I was there 5 hours early, and 30 minutes before, you know, the film started, there was still no one else queuing.
Oh, really?
Me. Yeah, yeah. But the local reporter turned up.
Checking
and
am I on the right day? Like, where is everybody?
Yeah. So I'm officially the first person in the city to have seen Jurassic Park, and you know, I've got it in the paper and everything.
Oh, wow.
So it's the best one. And I only rewatched some of it the other day again, because of course the 4K DTSX mix on that is great. And the T-Rex scene is just incredible. And you know, with the rain effects and the I mean, talk about bass when the T-Rex lands the foot.
Yep.
In frame.
Yep.
And then of course the roar as he steps out, and that roar goes right to the back of the room. Mm-hmm. You know, I pretty much always recoil. You feel that roar, you know, it's great. But there we go.
Here's the thing. I agree with you 100%.
But
after watching Dominion, because what they do in Dominion is they take a lot of the history and they reenact it. There are nods throughout the movie too. You're going to see scenes that and characters and stuff that you're going to be like, I know that. Now, is your mindset like, oh my God, they're just copying? Or are you like, hey, that's a nod to, are you appreciative of it? And even when I saw it the first time, I was very appreciative of it. But now, everything you're saying, there are nods that you're like, oh, it looks so good. What a great scene. I remember that scene from this movie. Then you go back, and when you watch Jurassic Park, you're like, wow, this hasn't aged well. Because scenes, they look and sound better in the new version, where it's a completely different scene. It's not a spoiler or anything, but there are scenes that are very, you know, similar. But now the new projector, new cameras, new sounds, you know, system, everything just, it plays so much better that when I went back watching Dominion yet again, I was like, I got to go back and watch Jurassic Park. I watched Jurassic Park. I'm like, it doesn't look as good. It doesn't. It looks great, but in comparison, there's actually a cut. I was watching it on Kaleidoscape and I had to throw the disc in because there was a cut that I was like, ugh. And it's, is it the scene when Jeff Goldblum's looking back and it's like everything just all of a sudden, oh no, it was at the beginning and they're in the, I think they're in the Jeeps. And then all of a sudden it just got real. It looks like it's out of like it's like wrong. It's wrong film stock. Like it looks like an outtake almost. And then they cut back and you get a nice version of it. And I put it on the disc and I saw it and I was like, I'll have to find it again and timestamp that for you. But it just, I was like, ooh, I never noticed that before, that it kind of goes out and then back in. And it's, I want to say it's the lawyer guy. You know, the lawyer guy that's with Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah,
and he's on camera, but he's on camera and it's like they used a completely different camera with a different resolution and it just didn't mesh. The edit looked weird. It was so I'd never really noticed it before, but now I was like, oh, wow, that didn't look right. But still a great movie, of course.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. I'll pre-order it. I mean, it won't be out here for quite a while yet. I don't think it'll probably be September, end of September, something like that. I suspect it'll be a while, but I'll get it for sure. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. And it gives me time to rewatch them all and the build up to it as well, which would be good.
But
it's good. But the film that has blown my mind the most this week was The Northman. That was just absolutely mind-blowingly good.
Yes.
It was good. Is that one you rewatched this week? Did you rewatch that one this week?
Yes. Yeah. So I bought that I watched that a while ago on Kaleidoscape, and I loved it. And what's funny is, John, we're going to talk about it again on Friday, because John didn't enjoy it, but we've already talked about it, but we talked about it on the other podcast. Okay. And it was part of one of the segments in our other podcast. And he was like, I didn't really like it. And I was like, but I didn't get into it with him because it didn't fit the narrative. That's a comic book podcast. It is a comic book podcast. And I didn't want to get into what we're going to get into here. Spoiler free, of course. But the artistic side, the home theater experience of it, it just, oh my God. And that's why I want to talk to John about it again, but you and I could talk about it now, because I want to get John's opinion on it. And this is a great opportunity, but it's, who was it that tweeted out? And was it Omar that tweeted out today about we watch movies for.
Yes.
Oh my God. What a tweet. And it was perfect to go with The Northman, because we'll go spoiler free, but it's really not even about the damn story. I mean, the story's great, but like you had stated, I think the cinematography, the everything, that there were shots there that should be paintings.
Yeah.
And agreed. It's just like, and on your screen, it was great. Go ahead. Go. Cause it, I was, yeah, bl- no, I'm blown away by it too. Very artistic.
Well, I've got a full confession. I watched it quite a long time ago as well, but I saw it on my iPad.
Jesus, Steve, come on. We were just trying to put that last one to bed.
I know. But I watched it, to be fair to me, I watched it with my AirPod Max headphones on, and I tried to engage with it, which I did. But I enjoyed it. But I thought, no, this needs to be seen, you know, at home. Yeah. And so I got it Monday. And I thought on Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever it was, I thought I'm going to quickly put it on. I'll have a quick look at it. Because I knew this was coming up, and I thought, well, I need to look at it at least. And that is one where it went on, and I watched the whole thing. There was no stopping that. It had to be done from the very opening. You know, just that the voiceover was like from the voice of God himself.
Yeah.
You know, just and of course, now it's so overwrought. There's nothing subtle about that film. Everything is amped up to 11, isn't it? So it starts with this voiceover, and of course over a volcano. You know, it just had to be, didn't it? And so this just is from every speaker. Then, in fact, before that starts, now I've only watched it once in 4K. I need to rewatch it, because before it starts, you can tell me whether you got this as well, because you've seen it more than once, so your memory might be better of it. Before anything comes on screen, there is a movement around the room I remember it as being bass, but it may not be. It may have just been a wind or something, but I felt it move in
you're
the in room.
A, your room is before. Dark, but you feel stuff moving. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so that should have been my cue as to what was coming. But then the voiceover begins and it's just, wow. And I stopped the movie to tweet straight away and just go, wow, the voiceover is incredible. And it's like, I can't do it. And then from then on, it just goes and goes and goes, and it never lets up. And the audio on it's fantastic. You know, all the way around the room, the chanting, the dancing, the music, the all that stuff is moving around the room.
The score is amazing for this. The score, the music, everything, like and like you said, the chanting, the music that they're dancing to in the movie is just it's a level of immersion in your room that you're like, oh man. And then but then the score as well, that it's, there's so many things going on, you know, the sights, the sounds, it's all coming together that it's like, you don't know. I mean, it's so powerful. Any one of them is very powerful, right?
Yeah.
You combine that all together and you're just like, it's, you don't know which one is the one that's moving you most. It's like what you're seeing and what you're experiencing on the screen. And then also the way the sound is moving and not just moving in your room, but moving you, like making your emotion, playing with, toying with your emotions.
Yeah.
I just,
it's stunning. Yeah.
It really is. And it's,
it's now, bearing in mind that the story that it's based on was what Shakespeare based Hamlet on. So it's clearly Hamlet. I mean, there's no question about that. And you can see that through, and that's a well told story. We've seen that before, and the Lion King and everything else. And it's a very common story, but just so well told, and told with such kind of, again, overwrought. It's so cinematic. The film that it most reminded me of was Apocalypto, and I, because of the just the sheer kind of, just the visceral nature of it. Everything visceral, seems to be working in step.
Yep.
And whilst there's got some incredible dialogue on it, in it, and so well done, and again, I tweeted out some of that, which again reminded me of Gladiator, actually, this thing of I am his vengeance.
Yeah.
You know, reminded me of that Maximus Decimus Meridius scene in Gladiator. But just so well done that I almost think this film could be in Norse. I think that would be the language, presumably. It could be in Norse. No subtitles. You get what was going on, and you wouldn't miss a beat of the power of the story.
Yes, that's what I meant by like the story. It's almost inconsequential, right? That's what I meant by that when I said that. I'm like, you just, it's like artwork after artwork that just is moving you through this movie, and you're like, you're 100% correct. Like, I don't need to hear people speak. But then that adds another depth to the movie that you're right. It's like to take a movie, to take a story like a Hamlet like that, and to tell it in a different way. That to me is a great piece of art. It's like my art teacher taught us. He's like, good artists borrow, great artists steal. Because
as your lawyer, I'd have to advise you against the stealing part. You know, it's not good.
But yeah, I know. But you know what I mean? Like, because if I say you created a piece of art, and I'm like, I'm borrowing that. Borrowing it means I did it, but they know Steve George did it first. If I do it better, exactly. Mm-hmm. If I take it from you and do it better, you're forgotten. I've stolen it. That's a great artist. You know what I mean? So like. And that's the point of it. There's nothing. You stole that from me. You're damn right I did. I did it better than you. It's like, sorry, you didn't do it as well. And it's like, but that's, so what are you going to say to that? What do you do to that? And what is history going to say to that? Be like, oh, you just stole it. Like, that's what happens. And it's, it sucks for the guy that had it stolen from, but because a better artist came along. And now I'm not saying this is better than Hamlet, but what I'm saying is just because something has been done doesn't mean it can't be redone in a different way, that in a different manner that makes it better at that time. Right. Obviously it couldn't be done this way when Shakespeare did Hamlet, but you take a piece of art and interpret
really
it in your
quality.
Yeah, exactly. You take a piece of art and you make it your own. And interpret it to your own. And if people like it, then people like it. There you go. And that's what I think is so fascinating about this movie.
Well, what's been surprising about it is it has been divisive. I mean, this earlier this evening, because I tweeted out a picture of a when I saw it, I said, oh, next time I see it, I'm going to need a, you know, a hollowed out tusk to drink from, you know. And earlier this evening, while I popped into town, I found one.
I saw your tweet.
So I tweeted it out, and someone tweeted back saying, oh, well, I hope you enjoyed it. I thought it was awful. Yeah, and I didn't really have time to engage any further, so I didn't get a chance to ask why. But I am.
They were probably watching it on an iPad, Steve.
Well, it's appalling. Fancy doing that? That's dreadful. How can anyone do such a thing?
But honestly, I think a lot of that is the case because imagine how this movie plays out when you just watch it on a simple television with no sound extra. You're not pulled in, right?
Yeah, it's the cinematic nature. This needs, you know, Atmos. It needs a decent screen. It needs a proper engagement with it. And I loved it. I really did. And it could be my film of the year so far. It really could. It even better than The Batman. Even better than the Multiverse of Madness. And you know, the more worthy movies. You know, I genuinely this could be my film of the year. I mean, I was blown away. And in terms of Atmos moments, you've got with no spoilers, but there's a moment where some ravens are called into action. And that comes over the screen. Three of them come over. Yep. You get one, two, three. And that was, you know, that was great. You know, just the subtlety of, for a film that, again, I keep using the word overwrought, because it's so, in any other film, a character would say to another character, can you pop down to the store, buy a newspaper and a can of Coke? Right? That, in any other film, that's how it would be. In this film, it is, you know, you are tasked to venture upon the lands of time. There you must purchase a can of the elixir of Coke. You know, it's all so overwrought. It's all so serious. But in this particular bit, I love that about it. I think it's doing it as a joke. I think it's trying to do that, you know, as a slight wink to the audience. But this moment is so subtle with these birds, the three that come over the ceiling, and I thought that was great as well, for such power in some scenes and such subtlety in others. And the ending, without saying it, might as well be Revenge of the Sith. I thought the ending was. I was waiting for Duel of the Fates to start. I was watching that.
Yeah.
You know, one of them even looks a bit like Obi-Wan.
I can't say that I thought that at the time when I just saw, but now that you're saying it, I'm like, oh, wow. How did I not? You're right. It is. That's funny.
It does have that kind of feel to it, but
yeah, good call.
So good.
I've
only watched it again recently, it's such a good film. I thought it was great. And again, for anybody listening to this, when they listen to it, if you've got a home theater and if you think you might like it, get it. You know, buy it, rent it, whatever. See it on the big screen, not the iPad. You know, don't do as I say, not as I do. And then just let fly. It's so good.
I think that's so funny about you, Steve, is that you love movies so much that you'll actually watch them on a, like, on an iPad, on your phone. Like, I already know it's going to be in the description for this show on Tuesday. When it comes out on Tuesday, I already know. Like, so Steve George dropped by. What do Lucy and the Northmen have in common? And it's like, because like you're like, what the hell? It's like you love movies so much that you're taking them in. You have a fantastic theater, a dedicated screening room, right? And it's and you're still at like God knows where on an iPad and watching on a phone, which isn't an iPad, Steve, is not much better than a phone. It's like three times bigger. Like I'm looking at my iPad right in front of me. It's literally the screen's only three times bigger. And it's like it's tiny. And you're like, oh, I put my headphones on. Come on, Steve, you have a theater and your headphones do not live up to a theater. And I'm like, that's one of the things that bothers me about like when people actually say, well, I get a really good experience. No, you don't. Not in a headphone. It's nice, but it's not like being in the theater, right? It's not. True. It's like you need to have that stuff going on around you. So,
and that's very, very true with this film. If nothing else, if everything else was wrong with this film, that's 100% correct. But in my defense, and of course, as a defense lawyer, I'm always going to leap to my own defense, if nothing else, is that, that it's time. It's time. That's what it's about. It's very often I'll go to police stations. When I get there, a police officer will be like, look, we're not quite ready to interview. We said we were, but we're not. Or I finished dealing with one client. I've got another client there, but they're not quite ready to go yet. So therefore, I've got a delay. And that might be an hour. It might be 2 hours. And the closest police station to me is an hour's round trip. So if I go there and they're like, we'll be ready in an hour, hour and a half, there's no point coming back. I may as well stay there. So then it's, well, what do I do? And for me, that's okay. Now's my chance to watch a film and I'll give it a go. And I've discovered films like that, that I wouldn't normally have seen, that I wouldn't normally. And then of course the crime would be, and again, as a criminal defense lawyer, I know what a crime is. The crime would be to watch that film and then never see it again properly, wouldn't it?
Right.
Because is it not better to see the film like that initially that I might not normally have seen, and then go, that was great, I'm going to buy that and I'm going to watch it at home, rather than to see it and then go, oh, well, that's it, I never need to see it again, I've seen that film now and I didn't think much of it or whatever, and then that's it. So the way I defend it is watch it on that, think, well, that was good, I quite like that, now I'll see it properly.
Right.
So that's how I excuse my behavior. But I'll let the home theater gods judge me on that in due course, as long as they don't use fake Greek accents.
Hey, I'll let Russell Crowe critique me all day long in any accent. I'm like, I don't care. I'm like, if he ever comes out in that crappy accent and mentions Brightside Home Theater, my favorite accent.
Yeah, well, quite. Yeah, you wouldn't want to upset him. May throw you heard about the phone throwing thing. He got into trouble for throwing a phone at someone. Yeah, so you don't want to upset him, that's for sure. The Northman's great. I 100% recommend that. That was great. And in terms of other ones, I was thinking about kind of the other ones I've had. Just recently, I just had lots and lots of ones from Europe recently come over. So Twister and Daylight, we mentioned.
Yep.
And talked about that, which were both really, really good discs. I mean, that must have cost you quite a bit to get them sent over, because you've got the same editions, haven't you? You sent them from Germany.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got the same. I think it was like, I want to say for the two movies, it wasn't bad. I think it was like 60, 70 bucks, maybe. Not even that much. Okay. It was relatively, not bad at all. And they showed up in like a week. I'm going to be little teaser. I'm going to be talking about them in a couple of weeks. I've been holding off on talking about that. It's like, I've had them for a while. I've had plans for a while, but I have kind of something special set up for those two because of those discs. So I'm going to be doing a fun dive on those. But it's going to be a few weeks on that because there's more things of brewing. So.
I think I might know what that is, but I won't
put it should be fun. So, yeah.
But we slightly differ on our views on those two, though, because I think you prefer Daylight to Twister in terms of the discs, don't you?
I'm
very slightly the other way, but only slightly, because Daylight's good. But I thought I found Daylight was a little bit of its time. Just slightly, if I say the word, it's the wrong word to use, but slightly more crude in terms of the sound isn't as subtle, isn't as, I found personally, than with
you
Twister.
You found Twitter to be subtle?
Twister, yeah.
You found something subtle?
No, but it's the movement, just the movement. You could feel that. You could feel the movement going in circles around the theater. And that was, with the power of the storm and everything else. And you talked about Johnny Speakers about 5.1 to 7.1, and I think this is one where 7.1 in particular, because you could trace the debris moving around the room and the wind and everything else. And I've seen Twister loads of times. And including in Blu-ray and everything else. And I've never heard it move like that.
No.
And it's right the way through. And you could almost follow it with your vision as it went. And that was with that plus the bass and everything else, just brought a power to it that I hadn't experienced before.
Right.
And so that blew me, if you'll forgive the expression, blew me away.
Blew you
away. We were talking about, you know, tornadoes. But it and I thought that was really, really good. And every time there was another storm, it came again. And I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Whereas with Daylight, I felt it was a little bit, just not quite as subtle, is maybe the wrong word then. Perhaps as convincing. Perhaps I'll use that word instead. Maybe not quite as convincing. It's still great. Loads of overhead effects, lots of bass, lots of movement, but just if I had to choose, Twister would be my one. Well, I love them both. I like them both. They're both in the collection. They're not going anywhere. But I would just nudge towards Twister.
So,
and knowing how you love that film, I'm surprised you're not the same.
Here's why. I agree with you, right? If somebody was going to ask me, like, which is the more entertaining, which is the more, like, everything you just described is 100% correct, because that's the nature of the movie Twister, right? But what I really liked about Daylight that was missing previously, and that I always wanted ever since since I bought the Laserdisc, is I just wanted that more enveloping feel of being in those tunnels. Okay. And I just felt like, and that's why I thought it was funny that you used the term subtle, is that it's the subtleties of Daylight, the echoes, right?
Yeah.
The dripping, the sounds overhead, and they're not like Twister. It's the exact opposite. It's the subtleties in your room felt like a tunnel. And it was something that, and it very well could just be something that I had been wanting for so long that when I got it, I was like, oh, this is what this movie's supposed to feel like. This is what it's like to be in that tunnel. Whereas, we've always wanted, Twister was great, but I, and this is where I get into like the negative, I don't want to say this, but anybody can make a room spin. There's no subtlety to that, right? There's no, like, I liked what you said, and you're right. There's more, there's more detail in the stuff, in the, as we say on this side, debris going around the room. The debris flying around your room, it did sound more discreet, more detailed, of like you felt like there were pieces going by. You're right.
Yeah, there's texture to the sound.
Yeah. Great example. Great word. But even just that, like when you're in the sound design room and you're like, just throw this noise over here and do that, right? Whereas I feel like in Daylight, it's just a more like the subtleties of it, of water dripping, of anybody speaks, it's a different tone. When they go outside the tunnel and you're listening to the people on the outside, there's a different, you don't have that echo. There were more nuances to it that I just was like, and again, that just might be me being wanting this movie to sound like this for so long, and then you finally get it. Which, it's funny, those two movies come out that we're all buying them together, because it's a movies that we've wanted. It's like when Abyss and True Lies, that, you know, they're coming out together and the whole world's just going to talk about that. But these are two movies that we've been wanting for so long. And now here we have them with the correct tracks.
Well, they were released by the same company, weren't they? They're released by the same company,
the German company.
And who are a nice company, by the way. They've retweeted both of us when mentioning it. They're very nice of them. It was good of them to do that. They were good. They were very cool. I've had a number of European releases recently come over. I don't know if you've seen, have you seen Cop Shop with Gerard Butler? Have you seen that one?
Not yet. I have it on the Kaleidoscape. It's one I haven't gotten to yet, but I do. I've heard great things 4K? About it. Yep.
Yeah. The HDR on that is excellent. The audio is good. But I think it's only 7.1. I don't think it's not Atmos or DTS:X, which is unusual for a new film. But the HDR on that is really nice. The wider color gamut on it looks great.
Yeah.
And it's a really good film. It's quite Tarantino-esque-ish.
Yeah.
But really, really good. And cool. I had Greenland as well. I had that arrive, which was really good. I enjoyed that. That was demonstrably better in 4K disc than on the Amazon stream. Amazon Prime stream was okay, but there were issues with that. I had some issues with artifacting on that, and some issues with the picture. It just didn't look very organic. But the disc fixes all of that.
Yeah.
And it's a really nice disc and well worth picking up again, either if people are listening or if you're, you know, if you want to import it yourself. And there's some decent bass levels in that too. When the, you know, when the little satellite comets hit, you know, it's really nice. But and then I had the Hurt Locker arrive today, which came today, which I haven't had a chance to look at yet. Now, have you got that in 4K? Because that's been out over there a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I've had that. I haven't seen that in forever, in a long time. But, yeah, I saw that you got the disc today. I have my little...
Have you bought it in 4K yourself? Have you got it?
I think I actually... Yeah, I think I even have it on Kaleidoscape because I wanted to... That was one of my first ones, one of my early ones when you first get it and you start flipping through. That's kind of a must-own to me. And I was just like, oh, buy that one. I've already filled it up. 12 terabytes. My Kaleidoscape. 12 terabytes.
12 terabytes.
I'm already taking stuff off. I have to take stuff off. Because
So tell me this, because I'm very curious about the Kaleidoscape, but I can't get it yet because there's one company in the UK that sells it.
Okay,
And I'm concerned about it's down on the South Coast and they're a dealer. They're not a, you know, it's not Kaleidoscape themselves. And I'm worried that without that there's not going to be the support for the you know the UK side of it, you know, paying in pounds and not, you know, not dollars and all this kind of stuff. So I am curious about it. So can you connect external drives? Can you add extra terabytes to it?
Not it's all proprietary. Everything is through them.
Right.
So you can't use other hard drives because one of my listeners, before I even got mine, he has a Terra 24, which is I have a Terra 12, and so obviously that's 2 6 terabyte hard drives in there. He has a Terra 24, which has 4 6 terabyte hard drives in it. Well, one of his hard drives inside the Terra 24 failed. So what happens is you Kaleidoscape has to ship you another hard drive and then you just re-upload the movies, but you could still use that. That's the advantage of that one. The Terra 24 actually has enough power in it that when a hard drive fails, you can limp along on the other three. Mine, if one of them fails, I believe I'm almost 100% sure the whole thing's done. So you're done and done, right? But they'll ship it, but it's all, you know, you got a 5-year warranty, blah, blah, blah. And they just ship you another one, but you don't lose your content because you just have to re-download it. Right. On my Zepedi, if something fails on that, I just flat out lose it. Now I still have the disc, but now I have to re-upload it. And what a disaster and how long that takes. Right. Kaleidoscape much faster, much easier. Mm-hmm. But yes, so he was saying, he's like, oh, I wish I could have just bought a new hard drive at Best Buy and put it into my Kaleidoscape, but you can't. You have to use their hard. It has to be formatted by them. It's all proprietary. And that most of that has to do with, from what I understand, talking with Brett, it's copy protection from the studios. That's what's allowing them to do all of this. It's like, because if you were allowed to just add your own hard drive, you'd just be putting movies on, pulling that hard drive and putting in a new one. Right.
And sell that to someone else.
Exactly.
And bring a new one in.
Exactly. So you see why they're doing it. It makes sense. It's like, they're very, I mean, they have to be, they literally went to court on all this stuff to fight, to keep their company. I don't know if you knew that, but
I remember you guys talk. I didn't know it. I remember you guys talking about it a while back And that was news to me, but you can understand it, can't you? If you're a studio and you're giving another company your product that is the best on the market, it's pristine, and you're going to give that to another company and hope that company isn't going to give that to another company and another company, another company or another, or to the public who can then give it to whoever they like.
Right.
And bearing in mind, it's all digital anyway. And one thing we all know now is that once it's digital, it can be copied perfectly and it can be sent everywhere and anywhere like that. And so you can understand the worry. And so that I don't think we can criticize Kaleidoscape for that at all. No. But it does. I am so curious about it. I'm hoping at some point they're going to hit the UK in a big way. And then, you know, because I could afford it, I could buy it, you know, but I want to make sure that it's not gonna, I'm not going to get it and then be left, you know,
high and dry with the ecosystem that you're like, well, what the heck was the point?
Because I don't mind, I don't mind putting the disc in. I'm quite happy to do that. I mean, but it would be nice not to have to. But I'm worried about the trade-off. So how many films have you got on yours that is filled your 12 terabytes then?
Over 200.
Any idea?
Over 200.
See, that's quite a small number, isn't it, to fill 12 terabytes?
That's how big the files are, though. That's how big the files are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If I've got 600 4K discs, so that's, you know, so if you get 200 is 12 terabytes, so that's only, say, 400 with 24, and I want to make sure that I keep those so that, you know, those can't go anywhere. Is there a higher one than 24?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Steve, if you've got the money, I can spend it for you, buddy. Trust me, they have a 72.
What's bigger than a terabyte?
I know.
My
son would probably know. I don't remember. Yeah. I think there is something. I can't remember. Yeah. It's like probably a gigawatt.
Back to the Future. That word's Back to the Future territory now, aren't
but we? No, but you can link them too. Like I have a 12, and I'm going. My next upgrade for the Kaleidoscape is to get a 24, saving up for next year, and then that I think would probably be enough. I can imagine a 24 terabyte. I'm like, that's a lot more. That's twice as many as I have now. And at the beginning, you're going to fill up fast because you're going to get all the older. Once you've got your collection, you're just adding one and two here and there because as the movies are coming out, right? They have a 72. They have a 72 terabyte. They have is it a 40? They have one in the middle, too. It might be a 48, a 24, a 48, and a 72.
Oh, okay.
So, and an 18. They go upwards of like, up to 25,000 for $25,000 for the 72, I think. I don't know the numbers. I don't even bother looking. I know I'm not getting that one.
What point do you get to one where it would be just cheaper to film your own movie? Eventually, you just get there.
Exactly. That's like, exactly. Like Martin Scorsese, he's one of the blurbs on the website for it. And I'm like, really? Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, he probably does. I do want the 24, but yeah, it's filled up fast. That's 200. And I'd say the average is probably 70 gigabytes for a movie. Is the average, I would say. There's a bunch that are over, and then there's a bunch that are under. But yeah, it fills up fast. And so I have close to 200 on my hard drive now, and then I probably have 30 something off already. So I'm giving my I think I'm around like 185 on my hard drive, 190. So giving myself some space so that I can just buy something and not have to be like, I can't buy this yet. I gotta, you know. But I've already pulled off like 30 movies that.
Right. You may not know. I don't know. But so once they're on your hard drive, I'm just curious. I'm sorry, it might be boring to anyone listening. I'm just massively curious about it. If it's on your hard drive, does it have to, just talking pie in the sky here, does it have to have any connection to Kaleidoscape to run them?
No.
Is it sending a message back to the central server, it coming back to the hard drive to say, right, no, you've got your permission, you can watch this. The reason I say that is, so if something happened to Kaleidoscape and they said, right, we're going to do what PlayStation have done and we're no longer going to be in the movie business, we're going to do something else. You those films on your hard drive at least are still there, and you can access them. Can you?
It's physical media for all intents and purposes. It's you own it, right? So if that hard drive fails, then you're going to lose, and Kaleidoscape's gone out of business. Well, then you've lost everything, right? That's the ultimate negative. But I've disconnected from the internet. Just because I wanted to test that, I pulled my plug. Yeah. I was disconnected from the street, ran fine. And I know other people have done it as well. I've seen other people talk about it. Like, once you have it, and that's the benefit of a 72 terabyte. You just buy their library, put it on there, and it's like, now I have everything. I don't need Kaleidoscape. I don't need you anymore. I can disconnect.
Okay.
Because people, now here's an example. One of the, and this is one of the things I learned from Brett that I didn't realize, and the guys at AV Rant laughed at me because they're like, how did they not know? Well, I live in the middle of the woods, boys. I why would I know? Their Marine branch. They have a Marine branch based out of Florida because what these very wealthy people, they put these things on their yachts. And they go out for like months at a time on the yacht with no internet. But all their movies are on the hard drive. So they'll have a theater on their boat, and then they go out, and it's, and one of the things that Brett was saying is he goes, yeah, we'll, they'll come into port and they'll already have it scheduled. And say you have a Terra 72, they will swap out the 72 with all the, all like updated movies. So you just show up there and they take a 70, they take away that 72 with say maybe 500 movies on it and be like, here you go, sir. Here's your 550 movies. And then you just put in that one and take the other one away. Okay. So there's, if I, I'm like saving literally, like I could almost tell you I'm stacking pennies to save up for this stuff. And then you have other people that if their ship goes down, that's the worst thing that happens to them.
Yeah. It's so, a different world, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Well, there's money out there that I don't know where, but.
Well, when I get my super yacht, I'll be sure to do that.
You can fly me onto it with your helicopter.
A couple of weeks. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's it. We'll have Midway standing by.
I'd probably get thrown overboard just for mentioning it. Oh, good. Well, we can watch Midway.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Oh, right, that's it. Yeah, there you go.
Hope you can swim.
Aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
Yeah. <that's... laughs> Oh, man. Oh. But yeah, no, I am. DJ, just to let you know, my iPad, my laptop is about to go flat. Can we swap over? Can I get my dreaded iPad? And can I swap to that? Is that okay? Can we like edit it together and
Of course. Knock yourself out.
Give me 5 minutes tops. I'm going to run up and get my iPad and I'll come down and just rejoin the league. Okay.
Sounds good. I'll be here.
All right. Good man. See you in 2 seconds. Yep. Hi, DJ. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Oh, brilliant. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem.
I've been watching the laptop countdown.
Don't you hate that?
Yeah, oh, it's I'd like to think that it had better battery length than that, but there we go. Brilliant. So sorry. I'm really
no. That's all right.
Break up to the flow. You haven't been doing an impression of me for the last 5 minutes and giving it an absolute defense of how good Midway is.
No. No, but I did get a very interesting topic while you were away, as the listeners are hearing. They didn't even notice anything. But I got an interesting topic that come Johnny Speakers, he DM'd me. So here I normally wouldn't do this in this show, but I think you'll appreciate this. And it hits on something we were talking about earlier, the negativity and and this isn't necessarily negativity, this is overwhelming positivity in other areas. So this is what Johnny Speakers, he DM'd me, he goes, started a rabbit hole of researching Macintosh and other comparable brands. Some people say Macintosh are the best, others say garbage. All agree they look awesome, ha ha ha. And he goes, the world of hi-fi, it's so crazy. So I am literally in the middle of, when you pop back on, I'm in the middle of responding to him, and I'm like, and this, I had a listener email me right after the show, because we were talking about, he was talking about getting a Macintosh someday. So I had a listener email me with a brand that he thinks is better than the Macintosh. And he told him, and I said, look, this is why I haven't mentioned what my upgrade is yet. There are a lot of great brands out there. And everybody has an opinion. And everybody's opinion is valid. But it can be overwhelming when you're shopping, especially in home theater, that you're like, well, like what Johnny's going through right now is like, yeah, they're all good. And it makes you like start to question your own judgment when at the end of the day, going from an Emotiva amp up to a Macintosh amp, it's infant, like the upgrade that Johnny and I were talking about in the podcast is so minor, but now yeah. you're getting into the, all right, what's even a little better than the Macintosh? If you've always mm-hmm. dreamed of owning a Macintosh, get mm-hmm. your Macintosh, right? Yeah. And it's yeah. like that, if that's what your dream was, it's, and that's what you have to trust your opinion and enjoy it and go from there. Right. And it's yeah. so difficult when you start researching stuff. And this is another incident I'm going to talk about again on Friday, but I had a listener about a product that I don't want to talk about. It's a product I don't own. I would mm-hmm. like to own someday, maybe, but he had going through the same thing and he's reading negative press on this product. Yeah. And he reached out to me and I could say his name. Nobody really knows who Nathan, you know who you are, buddy. But I do want to talk about this in the vaguest of terms, because this is where I think, and you did say, Steve, that you were like, you want to get into the criticisms and critiques and where at a time and a place. But he's like, he contacted me and he's like, you're the only one that I know that I can talk to about this and the only one I trust. What do I make of this? And he sends me the information and stuff. And I reached out to people in the business, people that know more than I do. And I gave him his answer. And I said, look, the answer ends up being, don't panic. These are people in the business that have zero stake in this issue. And they're people that I trust. And I said, it is true. The stuff you're reading is true, but it's blown out of proportion as propaganda to make you do exactly what you're doing and buy in another mm-hmm. direction. Do you see what I, yeah. and that's what I don't yeah. like. That's what I don't like. When I mentioned earlier about like the minor thing becomes the headline, that's not yeah. good. And when you're making expensive, you know, over, you know, tens of thousands of dollars purchases, and you are people like us that we kind of overextend at times in our money because we're not all these billionaires with yachts, right? And buying these like
not yet.
They
not yet.
Right. They consider them frivolous things where you and I are like, oh my God, am I gonna spend yeah. like yeah. even you with Kaleidoscape, you can afford it, but not to the point that you're just throwing your money away at it. Yeah. Right. So you want to make a smart purchase of that magnitude. You see, you know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah.
Whereas there are a lot of people that they can't even approach that. And it's like, I was lucky enough that if the pandemic doesn't happen, I still don't have one. So it's like, the Kaleidoscape that is, but you know what I mean? So it's like, when you get into this, it's like there comes a point when I do think you have to trust your opinion and go with that and know that everything you buy is, it's all got flaws, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But well, at some point, isn't it? You've got to just pull the trigger on it. You either do it, or you give up this kind of stuff when you just read the magazines and it's very old school. You just go online and you just enjoy the research of it and never actually do it. I've got a friend, someone who I know, who's made almost a lifestyle out of doing that. And it's not just home theater. It's cars. It's you know, music stuff, and he reads on it and researches it and reads on it and researches it and reads on it until it's out of date, and then he goes again, and he's famous for it, and his wife, she's driven to absolute distraction by it because that's just what he always does. And so I think at some point you've got to just you absolutely take advice. It puts pressure on you, and you're, because of course you're then, well, I'm suggesting you do this, that, and the other. So you feel you might, and I know, knowing you as I do, so you're going to take that responsibility. So I put some pressure on you to point that person in the right direction. But I did that too. I mean, John Archer, before I bought this TV, John Archer, you know, I didn't know him. I knew him only from Twitter. I knew he was a tech journalist, and I needed a new TV. I'd been out of the TV game for a while. And I needed something that was going to work for me. And I asked him, and he was like, yep, this is the one you want to get. And so same with him. You know, it's the pressure that is put on people that recommend it. But at some point, you've just got to pull the trigger on it and just do it. And, yeah. And you know, and obviously forewarned is forearmed, isn't it? So, you know, you've got that warning. You've been told, look, this is what's really good. This is what's perhaps not so good. But at some rate, sooner or later, you've got to pay your money, take your choice, and get on with it. Or you never do it. You never get into it. You never buy it. You just never go forward.
You get an analysis paralysis. In the case of your TV, there's probably just as many detractors to those televisions as there are, you know, rave reviews. And you're like,
well, not sensible ones.
Yeah, exactly. but that's the point, though. It's like it. You can always find somebody talking negative about something. Oh, yeah. But if you start reading this and you start paying attention to it, and you're like, well, wait a minute. But I thought he said, look, I'm always like, once. Yeah, there's a time and a place to read these reviews, read this. And it's like, look for the concerns. If there aren't, if it's overwhelmingly out there, like, wow, that must be a bad product or something. But where the overwhelming consensus is, it's a quality company. It's a quality product that's been around for years. And you're reading stuff that's the outlier. Well, wait a minute. What? These are the geniuses? These are the people, like, how come this isn't getting out? How come these people don't, you know? So it's like, trust it and enjoy the experience. And the answer, like I said, the answer to Nathan's question, yeah, that is an issue. It's an issue with that product, but there's no avoiding it. It's an issue with the technology. But what was happening is somebody was saying that this one company was... I'll tell you afterwards off air, because I don't want to disparage the company. I don't want to disparage the people talking about it, because if I told you what it was, if I put it out on the air, now I'm playing into it. And now people are going to be like, it does what? What does what? And be like, it's a well-known issue that has been happening, and it there is no avoiding it. So the answer I got from multiple people that didn't know I was talking to multiple people. Well, the last couple did, because I told them, oh, I heard this from such and such and such. And they're like, yeah, okay. So multiple people told me the same thing. This is the issue. Go with God, enjoy. Because you can't avoid it, and just sit back and enjoy your product, because that's what it was meant for. And if you want to analyze it with the proper meters and everything, yeah, you're going to find something. But that's not what, and just enjoy it. Enjoy your theater, right? So, I don't want to play into that, but it's tough. And that's why, and the listener that emailed me about Johnny Speakers, I told him, I wrote this all out to him. I don't want to tell Johnny what you said, because I don't want to do that to him. And he's like, nope, you're 100%, he's a great listener. I'll even say who it is, G Cornell. And he emailed me and he's like, here's a great product, blah, blah, blah. It's a great amp. And I said, I know you well enough, and I've only ever emailed him, but it's a great relationship, that I'm like, I go, don't take offense to this, but this is what we were talking about. This is what I don't want to play into. And I don't think it's fair to him. And he emailed me right back and he goes, nope, you're right. He goes, don't even bother telling him. And I was like, I'm not going to, I don't want to. And, but he got it too. And I try to be supportive. And I think where I am overly supportive of stuff, if I tell you not to do something, I think that's very, you know what I mean? Like tell you, like, wow, this isn't very good, you'd be like, holy crap, he loves everything. What the hell happened here? So, you know, it goes in both directions, but you need to have that, right? So,
but that's where we come back to this again, it's critique rather than criticism.
Right.
Criticism has a negative connotation to it, but a critique it can be either, can't it? It can be positive or negative. And again, I'm sorry to sound like a stuck record, but I think, but if that critique is honestly held, it's an honestly held belief, it's done politely and it's properly argued, then it's valid, isn't it?
Right.
And that's exactly what I think we said, you know, it's become the theme of this, isn't it? You know, be it equipment, be it a film, be it any piece of art, be it anything at all.
Right.
As long as it's done honestly, politely, and in an appropriate way, then it's valid and it's important. And then, of course, that person that gets that, be it because they're going to go and see a movie, because they're going to buy an amp, because they're going to, or a receiver, because they're going to buy a, you know, whatever it might be, a super yacht.
Right.
Then, That's also a theme of today, isn't it? Then that person then will make that decision, but they'll be fully informed.
Right.
And as long as you don't go too far on that, then that's a good thing. And that's where you, as well as everything else you do, you're performing a public service.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, you know, you're giving them that information out and saying, now take that information and you do what you want to do with it.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a good thing.
And because
you're not affiliated with anybody and you've been very clear about that repeatedly, which I think is a really good thing. You know, I'm not part of Amazon affiliates. I'm not part of, you know, you're not part of this, that, and the other. And you've been very clear about that. So therefore it is going to have more impact. It's going to have better penetration because it's unbiased, isn't it? It's completely personal opinion, but unbiased
for any other outside influences. Right. Like, I love Kaleidoscape, but I love them. I loved the product before any of this, right? This is what I
was.
So yes, am I biased towards that because of my own biases? But it's not, but that's, to me, that is as much of a testimonial to that. And it's like, look, oh, you're just biased to them. Yep. Lean into it. You can't argue with me. Yes, I love it. Tell me why I shouldn't. And then people try to tell me why I shouldn't. I'm like, but one, that stuff's not accurate. Or two, it doesn't matter. It's like, why? Oh, but it's so expensive. Yeah, I was able to overcome that hurdle. You are correct. Next. It doesn't do this. You are correct, but you should see all the other stuff it does. It's fantastic. It's the environment. It's so, yes, am I biased towards that? Yeah, I'm going to tell you I love it. I'm not saying you should, right? So that's the way. In anybody that I have on, and I said this when I was on with SVS, I love SVS's product. I love the people, and that's why I wanted to get them onto my show. Now, I'm not sponsored by SVS or anything like that, but if you were to point at something and say, look at what he does here, he must be doing that. No, it's just, that's what I like. I love NHT. I've never spoken a word to these people. Someday I would love to. And if I ever do, everybody's like, oh, I'm like, I've had NHT since the 90s. So it's like, and I loved Yamaha years ago, but now I have a Denon. And I love my Denon. I had Onkyo before that. And I'm like, if I listed off all my projectors, I go where the quality is, what I can get for my money. I'm not beholden to anybody, but I do love home theater people. And what I found was like, I love Kaleidoscape ahead of time. Then I met Brett and he was working at Kaleidoscape at the time. And I was blown away that they would hire somebody for that role with that passion that I was like, this company is like, they're trying to do something. They're trying to get that out. And I'm like, that's fantastic. Same with SVS. Those people are so passionate. You know, Larry, oh my God, he's like me on steroids. Like, he can name scenes and do this and that. He loves it. Nick, same thing. He's just like, I just love it. He just wants to promote the entire experience. So I love those kind of people. And that's what I said to Gary when I was talking to him. I'm like, look, I'm not about promoting product. I love your product, but I love your people more. And I think that's how I can be a benefit in this industry, is that I'm going to promote home theater people. And then whatever product they're shilling, then that's up to you whether you like that or not. But I just love the people. I love the passion, and that's what I want to bring out. So,
it's a really principled start. So I was listening to your Friday podcast today while I was doing the housework earlier, and you and John, and again, you know, you talked on there about you know, about that. It's a very principled stance, and it's a good thing. And you know, whatever you do, don't ever change it, because it is increasingly rare, I suspect. And I think you said on Friday, you said about that you'd had offers, you'd been approached by people to do this, do that, sponsor this, sponsor that, and yet you very clearly said no, thank you, I don't want to do that.
Right.
And that can only amplify and properly get across your opinions as being unbiased and clear,
right?
And therefore more valid's the wrong word, because I suppose every opinion.
Everybody.
Again, we come back to the honesty that those opinions are attached to, because there's no reason for it to be anything else.
Right.
It's not based on money. I don't have to have this opinion because I'm sponsored by these people who tell me this. You know, and that's got to be a good thing. And you know, and it's a credit to you that yeah. you not only say that, but keep it going, you know, because the temptation must be to do something else. And it's a credit to you that you don't do that. And as I was listening to that earlier, I thought that, you know, that's great, because it just reinforces what we already know about you and about right. your whole ethos to this stuff, which is really good.
And what's funny is it all kind of does play into the idea of home theater too. Okay. Mm-hmm. So like I have my own business. I paint bumpers on location for dealerships. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll go in and you go to buy a car. And say the car was traded in and somebody scuffed the front bumper. Instead of sending that bumper to a body shop, they will have a guy like me come in, and in the parking lot, I can paint that corner of that bumper and make it look like it was done at a body shop. It'll come out, you know, near perfect, just like a body shop. Mm-hmm. Nothing is ever perfect. So for like half the price, and in literally like a tenth of the time, because it'll be gone for a week to the body shop, right?
Yeah.
So I can do that. There are a million, and I used to train guys to do this at the company that I worked at before. There are plenty of people that can do what I do. The reason, and I know this from experience, the reason that I am in the places that I'm in is because of the service, is because of the personality, of the relationships you deal with these people. My product is my product, right? Mm. And I know this, and here's why I know this. I had guys that I've trained that I know. I went to school for art. I have an advantage in doing this job. I have guys that I've trained that I know were still being trained by me. They weren't very good at the actual physical part of it, right? But when I went to their dealerships, they didn't want me. They wanted my guy because they had the relationship with that guy. Mm-hmm. So firsthand, I know that is more important. The relationship, the person is more important than the product. Yeah. How does that relate to home theater? The experiences we provide in our rooms is almost more important than the actual content on the screen. Because as you know, if you watch it on an iPad, it's not as dynamic. It's not as great as the experience you get in the room, as the presentation that is giving you. The product is enhanced by the environment that you're creating. Your personality on the job creates an environment that makes you more likable, that they want to deal. I'm sure you get it too, dealing in your line of work. Your personality goes a long way. I mean, for all intents and purposes, you're a defense lawyer, you're a part-time performer, no? You're stating a case. You have to come off as sympathetic. You have to come off as this.
I think it goes further than that. I think it's again, I mean, I teach as well. I lecture. In advanced criminal practice, and I often say to the students, and they look at me a bit quizzically when I say it, that actually I'm in sales.
Yeah, I'm a salesman. Absolutely.
All I'm doing is we're just selling an idea, selling a version of events, selling a very often a person. It's in selling a suggested theory, sentence, whatever it might.
Anything.
Exactly that. It's just sales, and again, lots of lawyers don't like that because they think that somehow diminishes who we are. But I think that's all it is. And I had a lot of experience in sales from when I was at university. I worked in lots of jobs and did lots of sales roles. And I think that's helped me in the work that I do. And then again, that's a relationship, isn't it? A relationship with a client, a relationship thing. They come back because they trust you, because they trust what you tell them. And it's based on an honesty and integrity, which, you know, and again, that relates to everything, but home theater as well. And you know, so when someone asks you, can you help me with this? They know that what they're going to get from you is honesty,
right?
You know, whether you know, and then whether they ultimately agree with you is going to be their own thing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But they know that what you're saying is your honest view and your honest approach, and that is priceless, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely priceless.
Yeah. I think we're
getting into the philosophical here, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. That's what I like. And like I said, that's what I've always wanted for this podcast. I mean, we started home theater. I mean, we're still in that realm, but I don't care what tangent we go on. But I think where, and this is why I would never say I'm a salesman, because, and this is where that sales, and probably why lawyers would look down on that term, is because to me, a salesman is somebody that can sell like ice to an Eskimo, or you know what I mean? The old term, like you could sell anything to anybody, which means they don't believe in it. I'm not a salesman. I can only sell what I believe in. And they're like, you're a great salesman for this. Yeah. Mm. Only because I love that, whatever you're talking about. And that's it. Like,
yeah.
Like the way I sell myself, like my product, what I do for a living is because I believe in it and I know, and I've had enough experience. Like anything you tell me on the negativity of what I'm doing, I'd be like, nope, this is the, and I get it. People are like, what are you doing this for? This should be done here. I'm like, okay, really? This is bad for the environment. And I've literally heard that. I'm outside spraying with a spray gun, no spray booth or nothing. And I'm like, oh, you think this is bad for the environment? This is a 3-ounce cup. If I take this gun and I shoot it straight into the air, boom, you know what I just did? And the amount of area I'm spraying, I've given this pitch so many times. I'm like, you go into a spray booth, your best spray booths filter out 20 to 25% of the pollutants. When you spray this full bumper inside a body shop, which is, that's what they're required to do because that's what they have to, you know, that's how they get paid. You're putting, you know, 100 to 150% more pollutants into the air through that filter than me just spraying this gun right into the air right now. And they're like, well, I don't know about that. I'm like, yeah, but I do. Like, and that's why I know, I'm like, I know that this is actually better for the environment than the other route. Because if you want to, but you think because there's a filter in the middle, oh, well, that's better. Well, so, like, you know what I mean? Like, but, and they're like, well, you, and I've had salesmen tell me it. Oh, you're really good at that. Oh, I'm like, no, I believe it. I know it. It's true. It's I can't sell something I don't believe in. And that's why, like, in the case with Nathan, I'm like, oh, I've never seen this. Let me look into it because now I'm questioning my beliefs. Okay. Let me find out. And I worked long and hard to get that information, not the confirmation on what I thought. I was trying to get people to tell me. I'm like, look, I want to tell him right now. I would love to have been able to tell him, nope, don't buy it. That is true. This is a little, but that wasn't the case. It was, everybody was like, no, it is the case, but it's not as big as what everybody's saying.
Yeah. Well, as I said, it's really good of you to do it, to take on that kind of responsibility and do that. But you know, and not everybody would. And I think a lot of people would go, well, look, I'm not going to get involved in that. You need to make your own decisions. But to take the time to do that's a really good thing. And again, another a mark of kind of you being you and really trying to help, which is a good thing.
Well, it's home theater. And I know what it's like. We've been doing this long enough. You know what it's like. And I can't help it. You know, you reach out to me. I'm like, and it's like, like I said, I told him in my reply to him, I'm like, I'm not going to talk about specifics, but I do want to bring this up. But I don't want to, again, I don't want to talk bad about the people that were mentioning it. I don't want to talk bad about the product and bring more awareness to something that isn't an issue. But it is. There's a lot of stuff out there that, you know, I just, you know me. I'm like, you reach out to me. I'm like, okay, let me do it. And I'm like, I'll take care of it. Let me see what I can find out. So,
my brother, very, very quickly, my brother is a long distance truck driver. He he delivers cars on the back of transporters. And he was only telling me the other day, it's funny you mentioned it about bumpers. He was telling me how often brand new cars get smashed to smithereens during transport. And I don't think it's just him. I hope it's not.
No.
maybe he's just a really bad driver. I don't know. But he was saying how many times these cars, brand new cars, brand spanking. I mean, they get shipped all over Europe and around the world to the UK.
Yeah.
And because there's not a lot of manufacturing here now, unfortunately. And he was saying that they get smashed to bits. I didn't realize that at all. I just thought if you buy a new car, it's pristine, you know, like a new amp or a new, you know, new speakers, new TV. You know, it's not been touched. It's perfect. But he was saying how often it happens. You know, it's commonplace for them to just be smashed a bit. And they must call people like you and they must say, look, can you come out? Can you fix it? Because, you know, it's a brand new car and we can't sell this with the damage to it. So very, very common here as well.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's more common than people realize. And a lot of times, if the damage, like for me, is this is where my credibility at this comes into play. I turn away almost as much stuff as I do because I'll be like, no, that needs to go to a place to have it done properly. Mm-hmm. Because, for all intents and purposes, what I'm doing is I'm trying to trick the buyer. Like, I can tell the damage is there, right?
Yeah.
Most people would never be able to tell. You'd never know walking around the car, you'd never know there was damage. it was damaged in any way. So I always looked at it like I'm trying to trick people, but at the same time, I am saving the car. It's like,
yeah,
I also know that any car goes to a body shop, I don't care what body shop it is, I'm going to be able to tell that that car has been painted. So it's just a different eye. So,
yeah,
you know, it's you're trying to trick the end user, but at the end of the day, you're really not. You're saving the integrity of the car. You're saving a lot of that stuff, but it's, you know, it's all a game, but it happens more often than people realize. And
yeah, I had no idea. I assumed it would, you know, I've bought a number of new cars. I've got a new car now. And I always assumed that they were perfect.
Yeah.
You know, I never imagined, but I've never imagined it could have been damaged. Well, quite that it could have been worked on. This thing could have, you know, could have been damaged several times before it got to me. Never really thought about that, but yeah, it is. Anyway, I'll stop talking cars now. But yeah. So right. So films coming up.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to speak to you about.
Okay.
So Prey. You mentioned about that's the new Predator film coming up 5th of August. So you guys are getting it on Hulu, not Disney.
Yeah.
And yeah. 5.1, not Atmos then.
Well, here's what's interesting. Yeah, as of right now, I'm pretty sure Hulu over here doesn't have Atmos. I don't know of anything that I know of. I haven't found anything. But to be fair, if there's a bunch of people listening going, oh, they have it, I haven't gone to Hulu to watch a lot of movies. Right? Because it's Hulu.
We don't have it here, you see. We don't have it here at all.
But because it's Hulu, I haven't been like, oh, I got to see... You know, for movies, you go to the majors, right? And Hulu, to me, isn't a major for movies. That my wife and I watch Murders in the Building. We like that. That's on Hulu. There's other series that we've watched through Hulu that we've really enjoyed. They have good picture, everything like that. I think it is in 4K, but no Atmos. But what's interesting is, I think over here... If I remember right, I think hashtag dork tweeted out that Deadpool 2 and Logan dropped on Disney Plus. I haven't had a chance to look myself.
Now we've had those here for months and months and months on Disney Plus.
In America, we're a little bit more strict with our rated R stuff. You know, because we're a little bit old fashioned.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's long been the case that in an American, like the MPAA, we'll have no problem with sexual stuff, but cursing and, you know, swearing and stuff, that's a big no-no, and we're not having that. And that seems to have long been the case. But in the UK, we've got Disney Plus, but as a set, you know, you've got the boxes. Yeah. So you've got Star Wars and you've got Marvel and you've got Disney, and we've got one there that says Disney Star.
Yeah.
And the Disney Star is where all the adult stuff goes, all the R rated, all the 18. In the UK, it's 18 plus. And so we've had Deadpool and Logan and Deadpool 2 on there for absolutely ages.
Right.
And it's on that Prey is going to come out, that they're going to release it there. Now, I don't know if it's going to, I don't even know if it's in 4K. I sincerely hope it is. And obviously in Atmos, again, I hope that it is. I'm really looking forward to that. And that feeds back into Apocalypto, and it feeds back into The Northman, because apparently you can watch it in the original Comanche without subtitles. So you can watch the whole film in it there are colonials in there. So they will be presumably speaking the, you know, English, but the Native Americans I'm probably saying that wrong, forgive me, because I don't want to sound insensitive, but the original First Nation people. I'm not sure.
Native Americans.
But apparently they will speak in Comanche. You can have it in English. There is an English where they will speak in English, but you can also have it in Comanche, which I think would be fascinating.
Yeah.
And actually it would be my preferred. I think I'd rather watch it that way and just see how that plays.
Yeah.
That might be wrong. I might have got that wrong. It might be it's in Comanche subtitles, but I think they speak Comanche. Now, in the trailers, they are speaking in English, and you can see that.
Right.
I mean, with American accents, which seems a bit odd given the time period, but there it is.
Mm.
And so, so apparently there is a Comanche version. So that will be fascinating. I would choose that out of the gate just to see. But I can't wait for
different.
That.
Yeah, it definitely would be different.
Yeah.
It would be pretty cool.
Yeah. yeah, I am looking forward to that. I've got some various plans for premieres for that, in terms of what I'm going to do with the lighting and bits and pieces. But
what was that? Something of the Dead. What was it? The
Army of the Dead.
Army of the Dead. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Army of the Dead. I did it with Batman as well, and I did it with Obi-Wan. I had one side of the room was the blue lightsaber light, the other side was red.
Oh, nice.
And so I did all that with Obi-Wan as well.
I was just going to say, I'm like, how did you light up Obi-Wan? But yeah, that's a good example, that the light.
So one half was blue, one half was red.
Nice.
And just had that kind of down the middle.
Army of the Dead was just so original. The colors, I had to do the same thing because I was just, and I still have it on my phone, like Army of the Dead, doink, and the lights all go.
I've got, mine says Obi-Wan. I've got the Obi-Wan.
Oh, nice.
I literally touch it, it goes, nice. You know, it'll go that color. But yeah, I loved Army of the Dead. I can't wait for the sequel. He's not started shooting it yet because he's filming, Zack Snyder's filming the Moon. I can't think what it's called. Is it the not the Dark Side of the Moon, Other Side of the Moon? It's a sci-fi thing. Yeah. Straight sci-fi.
And yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That now, and then he's going to go on to the sequel to Army of the Dead, which I can't wait for.
Yeah.
Because of course there's all kinds of strange things in there with the zombies. Some of them are robots, aren't they? Some of them are you can see the blue eyes, and some of them, you know,
yeah.
And there's clearly a time loop going on there with them in the vault. You know, there's lots to explore there. Pray to use that word again. I pray that he does go back to that because I don't want to. I absolutely love that film. I think I like that more than Zack Snyder does. But I absolutely love that film.
I really liked it. And I don't like it as much as you did. But no, I'm not a zombie fan. I'm not. I don't watch Walking Dead. I don't get into zombie. Mm. I never even liked. Like, my son loves, like, his first-person shooter games where you get to go and shoot the zombies and do it. I'm like, I'm not really into that. But I just had such a good time watching that movie that I was just like, this, you know, I saw, what was it, 28 days?
28 days later and then 28 weeks later. Yeah.
28 weeks, 28 days later, all of that. I enjoyed those, but there's very few zombie movies that I just like, I'm not a zombie you know, that it is a genre unto itself that people like, people love all zombie movies. Okay, fine. Mm. That's not me. But I did like Army of the Dead. I did enjoy it. I liked the, you know, vibrancy. I love the colors of it. I love the music, the action. I thought it was fun. It was my wife and I watched it together and we're like, that was a lot of fun. Yeah. Looking forward to the sequel.
You're not much of a horror guy though, are you? You're not. That's not your kind of your. So you won't have seen Malignant yet then? Have you seen that yet?
No.
Now that's a gonzo, bug nuts, crazy horror film from a guy that did the James Wan, who did the, you know, Insidious and all that. If you get some time, and if you just want something that will just be bananas film, but if you want something that's top-notch 4K, gorgeous, you know, HDR and everything else, you know, it's a horror film that's done with a real painterly eye, if I can use that as a really cliched phrase, but but it's the light and the dark in that film are just incredible. So if you get chance to see it, it is bonkers, but if you get chance to see it, it is well worth it. Malignant. It's out on 4K in America now as well. I think it is. It might even be on Kaleidoscape if you can rent it.
Yeah.
You know,
that would be a rental.
But it is bananas. It really, I mean, I don't want to tell you anything about it, but if you just if you've got some time and if you want to see something and you'll be talking about it with your wife for days afterwards in terms of did that happen and why did that happen and did we see what we thought we saw? It's worth it. It's crazy. But well worth watching.
See, when I was a kid, my mind, the way I see art is, art to me is you know, people made a joke when I was a kid, I'm a human Xerox machine because I have like an eye for detail. So I just love to draw things and try to make them look as realistic as possible. At the same time, I'm working alongside guys that would just be so good at the like surreal stuff or impressionist stuff. And just how do they see that way? How do they pull stuff out that isn't there or make stuff up that isn't there? So that stuff never appealed to me because I couldn't wrap my mind around it. Horror movies, I get taken out of them because my eye for detail is just like, I see how fake that is. I see. And I know like they're not really doing it. And I'm looking at it like Terminator, one of my favorite movies. When he cuts his eyeball out the entire time, every time I've seen it, I'm just like, oh my God, that looks so bad. And you see it now, and then there's a scene there. I think I said it when I talked about it. The razor blade literally isn't even in the blade in the handle anymore.
Yeah.
It's just an empty handle. And you're like, I see stuff like that. And then when you're watching a horror movie, you're supposed to be engrossed in the grossness or the shock factor. Yeah. And I'll just be like, okay. I see how they switched that there. I see how it loses that for me. And it's not a criticism of the art because it's fascinating to me that people love this stuff and how they do pull that stuff off. I do appreciate that. I just can't be like, okay.
Now I would be curious to see because your eye for detail in Malignant, because it's not as you think it is.
Horror movies I really like, but
Well, this is a film where at the end of it, the whole film takes on a different complexion.
Okay.
So, I'm so careful not to, because you might see it, you may not, but if you do, I don't want to ruin any of it.
My wife loves them. So,
it might be worth getting her to see it and then see if she thinks you'll like it. But there is your eye for detail in that film can send you in one direction. Yeah. When you should be going in the other.
Correct. I love
I can only say it. It's bananas. It's bonkers. All right. It's crazy, but it is well worth it. And you can watch it just for a home cinema demo. It's that good.
Yeah.
You know, the 4K is, the detail levels are fantastic. The play between light and dark, shadow detail, the wider color gamut on that. You could watch it just for that. And the sound is great. I think it's only 7.1. Don't think it's Atmos or DTS:X, but you can upmix it.
We know
it upmix it well. Absolutely.
Exactly.
But I'd be very curious to see what you make of that because it's so crazy. And it's not crazy in terms of like I don't know if you saw Nicolas Cage in Mandy. It's not crazy that way. There is a narrative to it. It's narrative cinema. It's not completely crazy like that. But just what is going on is not what you think. And to see it, so if you get your wife to watch it, as long as she's not squeamish, watch it and get her to tell you what she thinks of it.
No, I'd watch it with her. That's like I love it that she wants to see movies. So if she said, if she hears about a horror movie that she is interested in, I obviously join her. I'm like, I'm not going to send her down to my theater by herself.
It's very, very cool and well worth the watch. It's absolutely bonkers.
Cool.
All right.
Do you have anything else? I have a question I want to ask you, but before we get to that, we'll wrap up with the question because this is a big one. This is a big one. Never ever been done here. So I'm kind of nervous. You have anything else?
I think that's, I mean, how long have we been going now? I've lost track of time.
Quite a while. We had our break in the middle. We, stopped out for some tea and crumpets.
Junior Mints and Sam Adams.
Junior Mints. There you go. All right. Here we go. Never been asked before. Never been done before. This is the first. Brightside Home Theater.
You're not going to propose to me, are you, DJ?
I actually am.
We're getting close, but come on.
Oh my God, I actually am. I'm on bended knee.
I'm flattered.
You're right. I'm on bended knee over here. Luckily, this is an audio only podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, I like to keep things real over here, so that's why I'm doing it on air. But Steve, I talked to John. I would love, and it's funny that. It was Omar again. He said, "Oh, UK going international. I would love to have you on as a weekly correspondent, but there's a trick." First off, I'll tell you the trick after you answer. Would you be willing to join me on a weekly basis? And I'll insert it into the podcast because there is so much stuff going on over there that is different from us. That I think it would be fun for everybody if I got a UK update or whatever and a European flair to the Brightside Home Theater. And when he said that this week, I'm like, oh, people are doing this all the time to us. Somebody did it with RRR. We'd already planned on doing that. And now this one, I'm like, what the heck is going on here? But let me get your answer before I get all excited here.
That's 100% yes. Of course I would. Of course.
Okay.
I'm flattered that you would ask. Thank you.
Well, no, thank you, because you've done a great job at it already, like promoting on my podcast anyway, as I've said that to you in the past. But here's the trick. When you and I get on to do anything, it takes like an hour or two for us to say hello. So we're going to have, I'd like to, for our own sanity, for our own weekly schedule, I know you're busy. I'm busy. Mm-hmm. It's like to record this, and that's why I'm saying this on air too, but like, we got to try and keep it to like 10 to 15 minutes just for our weekly schedule. And then, you know, we'll do an update. And if we find that it's just not working out, I'm literally prepared to put a clock on it and be like, all right, we'll try it without the clock, Steve. Right. And when the alarm goes off, it's like, that's the end of the UK minute.
Cut.
Because we could go hours every week, but that wouldn't be good for, we would probably run out of stuff to talk about one every week.
Oh, doing that. I don't know about that.
I know. I doubt it too. I'm trying to be nice here.
I still think we could do 3 hours on the Northman.
I know.
No problem.
Yeah, once you get into spoilers, I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, what if we both went and like, let's go stamp it out and we'll do a show. Boom. All right. There you go. You got a weekend available?
Yeah.
So that.
But yeah, we can keep it. We can keep it to 10 minutes. We can do that. We can do that. Of course. It'd be great. I love the idea.
Excellent. Excellent. It's going to be YouTube too. I'm going to come up with a special background for you, a UK themed background and everything. I can't wait to work on that. It'd be the bright side.
As long as there's a little bit of New Zealand in there, you know, obviously,
Give me some images. I'll put them in there. I'll put them all in the background. We'll put stamps like luggage, you know, the old fashioned luggage that had all the things on it. Do that. Give me some images. I'll put it on there. We're going across the pond and we'll do stuff like that. Whatever we want to theme.
Sounds great.
It's your minute. We'll call it the Steve George minute. I don't know. But that's awesome. Awesome.
That sounds great. I really like that idea. That's a great idea. Yeah, really excited. That sounds fun.
Yeah. And it can be super, like, it should be easy to organize between the two of us because we can record it at any time during the week. And then I just insert it into the podcast. So
that's fun. No problem.
I know your schedule is all over the place with how you're called in and stuff. So,
yeah, no, that's okay. We can definitely do that. The time difference works quite well. Because it's only 5 hours, so actually, an evening for me, I can fit that in. That's fine. And if we're good at keeping it to 10 minutes, I could do that. Well, I'm on an iPad now. We could do this at a police station. I'll try and keep the police officers out whilst we're talking, you know. But it can be done anywhere, you know. Officers, just, you'll need to keep my client in the cell for a moment. I've got a podcast to do, and it's really important that we do the right stuff. It should be really easy to do. And funnily enough, while in the short break we had, I downloaded the app, the Riverside app.
Oh, okay.
How you use it on an iPad. So I've got it here. So, you know, we can.
Oh, awesome.
We can do it literally anywhere. It could be done in a car.
I know.
Yeah, not driving.
I've hosted this, like the Tuesday show. I forget who it was. Was it Mark? I forget who it was. He actually recorded the whole thing outside in his car.
Done.
For privacy. Because he's like, oh, my house is too crazy right now. So I was like, are you in your car? We come on here and I look, I go, are you in your car? And he's like, yep. I'm like, okay, let's go. We talked for like 2 hours and he sat in his car.
Hey. With traffic building up behind him. Gas station.
He wasn't driving. Yeah, I don't recommend that. Let's not record while we drive. But yeah, awesome.
No, that's great. No, awesome. I love that idea.
Awesome. Really excited. So you'll be able to hear a brief snippet this Friday. We'll get that done for this Friday's show. So in a few days. Through the magic of podcasting, you'll hear Steve George yet again this Friday. How are we going to pull that off, Steve? I don't know. No, that's awesome. Thank you so much. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to bring a lot to the show, a lot more stuff for John and I to talk about. And I think the listeners are really going to enjoy it because, I mean, you're a pretty dynamic person yourself. Your Twitter feed. This, even just the stuff. I love the stuff you said here, negative and positive. And it's like, we don't have to, you and I know personally, we don't have to agree on everything. And you're not shy about your opinion. I'm not shy about mine. And let's go.
When you're a lawyer and you argue for a living, if you're not an argumentative so-and-so, you're not going to
survive. Exactly. So, all right. Whew, it's been a long one. This has been a fun one, though, and a great new addition to the show. So thank you very much. We're now a three-man show. We're growing. And thank you to all the listeners that have been a part of the show, that continue to be a part of the show. If you want to be on the show, all you got to do is email me. Let me know. I'm scheduling more and more people. We're going further and further out. New listeners that I've never heard from before. I just picked up one the other day. I'm sorry, I forget his name. New listener to the show and is like brave. Like he already wants to come on. He's like, you do take, I'll do that. Okay. I don't know if it's bravery or that's just how desperate we all are to talk home theater.
No.
it's a hard thing to find somebody to talk with you. So if you want to come on and chat like this, we'll talk about anything, including our jobs. So, all right. Thanks, Steve. Thanks to everybody for listening. We'll be back on Friday. John and I are talking about, The Gray Man on Netflix. Have you seen that one yet?
No, I haven't. I'm going to. I'm going to see it as soon as I can.
I have my opinions. I did enjoy it. I'll give that away. But yeah, we're going to talk about that. The Gray Man. I'll leave it at that. How's that? What are you laughing at? You're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, that's cryptic. That's cryptic.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, I'll see you on Friday. Thanks, everybody. Go push play. Hey Fred. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.